much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Disappointed with all of you, especially you.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
My vagina's so itchy, so, so itchy, so freaking itchy.
Oh, cooch.
Yeah.
My vagina ain't handicapped, vagina ain't handicapped, so what, I can't walk, my vagina ain't handicapped.
What? Not my fault. Not my fault. It's not my fault. Not my fault. Not my fault. It's not my fault.
And now.
Not my fault.
Our feature presentation.
Sensing a theme.
Yes, the It's Not My Fault song sent to us by a listener yesterday in honor of Day of the King of Mexico. I thought that was nice.
Love it.
Nice work. Songify has more
they do
selections, right, for music beds.
Yeah, I think there's two or three of them that are free, and then you can buy other ones.
Oh, that explains why we're getting so many of the free ones.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Got that. Hey, party people, welcome into another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Tuesday. You watch any of that Monday Night Football game last night?
A little bit of it, yeah.
I happened to be watching during the minute that Minnesota scored. And I was like, how did that happen?
Wow.
It's insane. I watched about a quarter, but the announcers were having so much fun. I mean, I think people are just really excited to see how good this Green Bay team is and what they're capable of.
It's funny that a team that's this great is still somewhat likable. You know what I mean? Like, it used to be New England Patriots were so great, but sort of everyone hated them.
Right.
Because they thought the coach was an ass and that the quarterback was a robot.
Yeah, exactly. But this seems to be a likable team, and they're doing really well, and so people don't mind watching them. It's almost fun watching a team be that good.
Yeah, they're fun to watch. And the other thing that's weird about the Packers is usually, I think, maybe I'm wrong, but there's a little bit of a backlash against the team that won last year's Super Bowl. People are like, all right, tired of them, or they've had theirs. It's time to move on. You know what I mean? People want to see somebody beat the Super Bowl champion. But I don't know, the vibe I get, and maybe this is just coming from the announcers, is that people are really rooting for Green Bay.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it. You know who's really not not happy about it is Brett Favre. He's like, hey, this place was supposed to collapse when I left.
I know. I was thinking about that, too. What an unbelievable transition they made from, you know, one Hall of Famer to another. It's incredible. Well, I was thinking about the game last night as I was looking for a story to bring you first thing today. And we go to the great state of Wisconsin. Shania Edgel is her name. She's got a fantastic mugshot that's worth checking out on the Smoking Gun. And, Kevin, you'll appreciate this story. There are times after an evening of imbibing, shall we say, adult beverages.
Sure.
Where the only thing that works for you is a hamburger.
Oh, yeah.
You got it. What's that about?
And
how many times have we heard Kevin Lisa say, I got to get me some meat? I mean, how many times does that come out of his mouth?
All the time.
What's that about? I think you just need something greasy.
About the grease and the bread soaking up the alcohol. I don't know.
You either get a hamburger or you die.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Those are your options. I need meat.
I've seen that look in your eyes where you have felt exactly like that. Well, Miss Edgel arrived at 3 a.m. at a McDonald's in Janesville, Wisconsin. She needed a cheeseburger. She wanted a cheeseburger, and she wanted it bad.
Right.
Except for some reason, and I don't know how this generally works, but they had already switched over to the breakfast menu at 3 a.m. So the only thing available to her were hash browns and egg McMuffins and pancakes.
That doesn't work.
Not at all.
Doesn't work.
She freaked the F out. She's 22 years old. She turned on her 40-year-old boyfriend, biting him on the arm.
What?
Tearing off his shirt. Explaining to the cop, by the way, when she was arrested and booked later, that she just wanted a burger, that she had driven to the restaurant to get a burger. And they'd stop serving hamburgers. They were already serving breakfast. She wanted a cheeseburger. Then at some point, and I'm not sure why, after she bit and hit her boyfriend, she ended up on the roof of his car screaming about McDonald's at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Wow. Was he driving with her on the roof?
No, he wasn't driving with her on the roof.
I'm taking off. If she's on my roof, I'm going to just turn the car on and step on the gas.
Cop asked why she was on the man's car roof, and she said, because I was acting crazy.
Wow.
She was booked for disorderly conduct and held in jail in lieu of $150 bond. But I guess an Egg McMuffin just doesn't do the trick.
It doesn't. Sometimes you need a burger.
You don't change your menu at 3 a.m.?
Yeah, that's
weird. I was going to ask about that. I mean,
that is weird.
You think 3 a.m., you're still getting the post-bar crowd. You think you'd want to have the dinner menu available.
Maybe. Yeah. But, I mean, even not till almost 5 do people, you know, they're going to work and they want to stop and get something for breakfast.
Oh, so you feel her pain then.
She's right.
Well, I think they're wrong. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Look at her. Wow. Mike just found her. Wow. Look at her. Woo.
She looks like someone who needs a cheeseburger.
I'm making her a cheeseburger right now.
When she gets to court, the judge should say, 3 a.m., come on. You ought to be able to get a cheeseburger.
Seriously, she was right.
There you go.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Oh, that's such a big liar.
Well, you said anything yet. How do you know it's a big liar?
Because you're saying it.
Here's the story that's the lie, I believe. And that is that there's a rugby player, Bean told us about yesterday at this time, that went into a coma after an injury playing rugby. When he woke up, he was gay. And we're going to have Dr. Mo, our favorite doctor other than Drew, on the program and ask him if that's possible. Because to us, it smells like that's a fake story.
Doesn't seem likely.
But boy, did he go gay.
Man. Like, he used to play rugby. Now he's a hairdresser. That's one of the things.
Who lives with his boyfriend.
Yeah. Yeah. Ralph brought that up, too. Is like, that's one of the things that's maybe a little, smells a little false.
He also started frosting his hair, by the way.
Sure.
and lost a bunch of weight and started working out in addition to being a hairdresser. So it sort of seems like the Daily Mail newsroom said, what other stereotypes can we throw in there?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But who knows?
So we got that coming up. I don't know if you have been following the whole Twilight saga, but it comes out this weekend.
Of course.
What?
I have my tickets already.
Why hasn't that been talked about?
And some of the people that have been camping out just for the world premiere last night, they camped out for 4, 5, 6 days that didn't have tickets to the movie and weren't going to get tickets to the movie. Yeah. They were out there to see the stars walk in. And we sent our man on the street, Beer Mug, out to interview them.
Excellent.
As you know, Beer Mug is our guy. Like, he gets out there and he really, really, he's like a pit bull. Gets right to the truth. Won't have anything else. So he interviewed a bunch of people in Tent City, as they call it, right outside the Twilight premiere, and he talks to them, and I can't wait for you to hear it.
Oh, I'm excited.
Unbelievable.
You know, between all the Occupy movements around the country and the people camping out for Twilight, does nobody sleep in a house anymore? What's happening?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a good question. We also have Max Greenfield from New Girl. Mm-hmm. He's Schmidt. We're going to talk to him. That's one of our favorite shows. And we have Ask a Porn Star.
That's what I'm talking about.
Ask a Porn Star.
That should
lovely
be
Katie
interesting.
Morgan.
A lot of questions that come to mind when people think about porn stars.
You bet.
So you're going to get a chance to ask her that coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 10 minutes till 6.
Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday. Coming up right after the top of the hour, I'm very excited about this, Ralph. It's the race to the bottom here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Couldn't be more excited myself.
How dare you.
Muggs has really made some gains as being the worst person on air here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I mean, he's definitely going for it. There's no question that he's in the conversation right now.
Yeah!
But every once in a while, our man Kevin has to slap him down and go, hey, remember who the boss is here, okay?
It's stunning. It's stunning on this staff. We are like the Indianapolis Colts in terms of personnel, and yet somehow we keep winning games. It's just, it's ridiculous.
Well, you'll hear exactly what we mean right after the top of the hour in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. Ralph Garman joins us. What's going on?
This is why Leonardo DiCaprio is better than you.
Now what?
He had a birthday party. Now, most celebrities seemingly these days have birthday parties in Vegas, and they get paid to show up at their own birthday party, and they pop in for 20 minutes and collect their check for $250,000, and they sell
that
to the casino. Yeah, that's why you're bad.
If I could.
And Leonardo DiCaprio is better than you. That's my point.
No.
He had a birthday party this week. Celebrated his 37th birthday. He threw a giant bash. Invited the likes of Robert De Niro, Chase Crawford, Naomi Campbell, Benicio Del Toro, Kevin Connolly. And you had to pay to get in, but it was all for charity. All the proceeds from that party went to the Leonardo DiCaprio Foundation, which is not only raises money for wildlife protection, but for disaster relief and for clean water projects around the globe. Raised $1.3 million at his birthday party.
Wow.
All for charity.
I just really want gifts.
I know. You want to go to Vegas to be paid to
right.
Drink your Hennessy and Coke or whatever it is you're working on these days, and you get the money. But see, Leonardo DiCaprio is better than you. He's giving it to the world.
Hmm. Yeah. I guess if that's your thing.
Yeah. Meanwhile, porn star Kim Kardashian is headed for a mental breakdown, according to friends.
Yeah!
She is emotionally and physically exhausted after her divorce for Chris Humphries. Well, when you spend that much time, when you invest that much time in a marriage and to watch it all just crumble around you, sure. It just must be devastating. Friends saying she isn't eating, she isn't sleeping, she is crushed by the divorce, but keeps pushing ahead full force with her work commitments. And they're concerned for her health.
Wait, she's the one that divorced him, right?
Yes, Kevin, but it's no easier. It's no easier, really, to be the person who ends the marriage.
It turns out it's a little easier.
You have to bear the weight of all that responsibility for what you've done, not only to yourself, but to your loved ones and to the family of your ex-spouse. It's just it's just a full-time job being porn star Kim Kardashian.
But she didn't walk the Amazon. She really just did interviews about handbags and took private planes and limos. That's been her month.
She had to go to Australia. She had to travel in a private plane. She had to talk.
Wow.
She had to go to balls and parties and galas and dress up.
Man,
you don't know.
Can really
wear, appreciate
I can
the
wear a person down.
Disney is entering the beauty products market. They are releasing a line of cosmetics inspired by everyone's favorite fairy, Tinkerbell. I'm so glad that tiny little girls will be wearing more makeup. That's really what they need, because they look kind of crappy, all natural and stuff.
That's true.
I don't know how they walk. Sometimes these 4 or 5-year-old girls walk around with no makeup and in public. It's like, hey, no. How about a little self-respect?
A little effort, sure.
Slapping on a little foundation and some mascara. A little eyeshadow wouldn't hurt you either, sister.
The only good kids are on that Toddlers and Tiaras show.
That's what I'm talking about. That's a kid who is taking every possibility to look as good as they possibly can.
And some of these 8-9-year-olds now, their skin is just hideous to look at. Oh. It's just starting to get so weather-beaten.
Ever heard of Botox, girls? Look into it.
Gotta check that out.
Yeah, it's Tinkerbell-themed makeup products for little girls. There is a lip crayon.
Okay.
I think little girls should be using crayons for other things than putting on their lipstick. Called Magic Tink Tint, which is very hard to say without slipping and saying taint.
Mm-hmm.
Fairy Tale Face Palette. That is your foundation, basically, your blush.
I believe our guest Katie Morgan was
in that. How dare you, sir? And then Fairy Dust, which is a shimmering powder that you put on once your makeup's all set.
I believe Beer Mug was in that movie.
Hey. It'll be in Target stores next spring, so sadly not available for this year's lucrative gift-giving season. But
what are little ugly girls going to do it now? They
just
year?
Stay at home.
Stay in. Yeah, just stay at home.
And the Parents Television Council.
Oh, we love them.
Boy, are these people bad. These are the folks who complained about the Playboy Club before they even saw it, and were boycotting, threatening this, that, and the other thing. Do they have a headquarters? Is there someplace we can go picket them?
I don't know.
Where did they hide in the shadows like little moral ninjas? Now they are threatening NBC. Released a statement this week urging NBC not to hire Howard Stern as a judge for America's Got Talent. You know, there was a rumor going around that they were talking to Howard Stern.
Right.
They tell The Hollywood Reporter that the move would alienate millions of families, and with it, tens of millions of advertising dollars. This Tim Winter, who is the head of the PTC, continues to garner power in Hollywood with these power plays, with these threatened boycotts and complaints.
But, I mean, NBC is the judge of whether it's a worthwhile risk for advertising dollars or not. What does the PTC care, whether NBC makes money or not?
That's how they have influence?
Because
they try to hit the bottom
evil
line.
Howard Stern will be on television? That's what they care about.
Oh, so the PTC
about.
Will try to get those companies to not advertise
exactly.
the show.
Yeah, threatening boycotts, which is what they do. And lastly, while we're talking about television, CBS and NBC both announced their season changes yesterday for the mid-season replacements and some shuffling of scheduling. The new comedy starring Rob Schneider will be added to the lineup over there on CBS. It's called Rob! With an exclamation point, but also with an upside-down exclamation point in front of it.
What?
Because he marries into a Mexican-American family. And that's how you punctuate exclamation points in Spanish.
Does hilarity ensue?
The title alone is funny.
Yeah.
Because it's got 2 exclamation points.
Yep.
Did somebody order Mexican?
What the hell?
Undercover Boss also returning for CBS. That'll be added to their lineup in January.
How's their punctuation?
Just a period, I think, at the end of that. NBC is shelving Prime Suspect.
Ooh.
And Community.
That hurts me. That one hurts me.
To make room for its Thursday night comedy lineup, adding 30 Rock back to the mix on Thursdays at 8 o'clock in January. Which, I can't say I'm sorry to see 30 Rock come back. It's a shame. It has to be at the cost of Community. But actually, what they're really moving Community for is to make room for the high-powered Are You There, Chelsea sitcom based on Chelsea Handler's life.
All right.
They're gonna put that back-to-back with Whitney.
Yes.
I think I saw tears coming off of my flat screen this morning when it heard the news. I think it was...
Your flat screen was crying?
My television was actually crying at the news that there was going to be a Whitney, Are You There, Chelsea block. Back to back.
How is Whitney still on the schedule if Community's not? Why can't you make that switch? That's an instant improvement right there.
I can't imagine. I told you I watched it again this week just to make sure. Like, maybe I was off. Maybe the first few episodes were bad and I was wrong. I'm gonna check back in just to give it a shot. Wow! Wow. So not funny.
It was good?
Oh. Wow. Wow.
I don't think it's that bad.
It's bad.
I mean, it's not good.
Oh, no, it's beyond not good.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Judge Wapner. Remember him from the People's Court? Sure. He was like the original TV judge. He was the one that started the whole ball rolling. 92 years old today.
Wow. Dude.
He's no Judge Drudy. Don't get me wrong.
No.
But he is an innovator. 92 years old. Ed Asner, legendary actor, 82 years old today from the Mary Tyler Moore Show and then from movies like Up. He was great in Up as a voice actor, as the old man in the house with the balloons. Sam Waterston from Law and Order, another great actor, 71 years old today. Kevin Eubanks, band leader for The Tonight Show, is 54. Actor Johnny Lee Miller is 39. Chad Kroeger of Nickelback.
Yeah.
Woo! Nickelback!
Oh, yeah.
37 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Maybe a little bit too early for sexy time thoughts, but 1 hour from right now, we're going to do Ask a Porn Star with the beautiful Katie Morgan. She's part of the Smodcast family over there, right, Ralph? Does a podcast about
sex. Good friend of mine, and yeah, does a very successful show called Having Sex with Katie Morgan.
She will be joining us, answering all your questions if you've always wondered what it's like to really be in the adult film world. That's coming up. And don't forget, go to KROQ.com for details on this year's 22nd annual KROQ Almost Acoustic Christmas, as announced yesterday on the Kevin and Bean Show, night one.
Does anybody else call it sexy time?
No, just him and the Biebs.
Let's talk about the race to the bottom. This is it's a battle that's been going on between Muggs and I.
Kevin! 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 Come on, Muggs. It's no comparison.
Well, here's what's happened. Here's the behind the scenes. The behind the scenes is Bean loves bad. So that's why he's partnered with me, A. And
that's why I'm on this show.
Absolutely. He better love bad or else he's in for the world of hurt.
So we have these giveaways to do over song introductions, and he has Beer Mug do it because he likes to hear Beer Mug screw it up.
Well, because here's the beautiful thing. 100% of the time, Beer Mug does it, and he's awful at it. It's just, it's hilarious to me that he can't go on the air for 20 seconds one time and do something without screwing up. I love that.
Which is written prepared material, by the way. It's not like he's got to make something up. He's not improvising. This is a giveaway he knows the details of.
Yeah, he can read it off a sheet of paper in front of him.
They're written down in front of him.
Yeah, it's printed out. All you have to do is read it. But so then I said, we had a little behind the scenes argument where I was like, you know, it's our show. We should probably be doing it. And Bean's like, but Beer Mug screws it up every time. And I said, well, I'll do it then. So here are a couple of Beer Mugs first. Because Ralph didn't hear yesterday's fine performance.
All I heard was the song restarting and I couldn't understand why.
This is Beer Mug doing a giveaway, and this is the kind of stuff that Bean loves because Beer Mug screws it up.
K-Rock. How about winning a pair of lift passes to Mountain High and tickets to Ski Dazzle at the L.A. Ski Convention Center? They don't ski there, but they do sell snowboards and skis if you want. Callers 15 through 20. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
The Ski Convention Center.
Yeah, the Ski Convention Center.
There's a convention center, but it's not a ski convention center.
For that weekend, it was.
No, there probably was a ski show at the convention center.
Sure. Yes, that's exactly what it was. And one of the things I love about Beer Mug is, and I don't know, look, the guy, he's been in radio for a couple of years now. He's done his own shows on the station. He's DJed before.
No.
Yet he gets so unbelievably nervous, and he starts screaming at us, too, and I don't understand why that is. And then he just falls apart in the middle every single time.
Well, it doesn't help when you have people listening, hoping that you're going to screw up. I can say this from experience, is that is that if you have a lack of confidence, all of a sudden you make one mistake and you go, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, here it comes.
But it's 20 seconds.
I know, I hear you.
People could be firing live rounds over my head. I could get 20 seconds out.
That's correct, you could.
I mean, it's not that much pressure. You just have to read what's on the page.
You know who can't? Myself and Beer Mug. Here's one more Beer Mug.
If you would like tickets to the 2011 NHRA Auto Club Finals at the Auto Club Raceway in Pomona, that's November 10th through the 13th. Callers 1 through 5 at 800. What's the number, Lisa? 520-1067?
67,
okay,
yeah.
That's it. Be the first 5 callers, and you'll win. Ralph Schoeller's beat is next.
Well done.
Wow.
So you got that going for you.
Yeah. Wasn't Mug also the guy who said the first 5 callers, 20 through 24,
yeah,
last
yes.
time he did
yes,
it?
I think the first 5 yes. callers 20 through 24.
Which are, that's two different things.
It's the first 5 people to be number 20 through 24.
I don't believe that's what he meant at all. No.
I think what happened is Kevin saw an upstart. He saw a guy who's muscling on in his territory, starting to get a little bit of attention, starting to get a little bit of love from the ladies, and he said, hey, wait a minute. Are we forgetting who the heavyweight champion of the world is over here in the corner?
Kevin's the veteran quarterback who's taken him to the playoffs, and he sees this new guy get drafted, and now he's concerned for his job.
Apparently. Tebow's not coming after my job. I'll tell you that right now. So yesterday I did this intro, and it went horribly wrong. I'm going to play the whole thing just so that you can hear.
Just to set the stage, you decided to take that job away from Beer Mug
because he kept screwing it up.
Right, so you wanted to put a better face on it for the sake of the show.
Yes,
since your name's on the show, you said we should deliver professionally.
We should do this. Well, it's not just that we should do it professionally; it's also that one of us should be the one doing the giveaway.
Uh huh.
And so Bean won't do it because he finds it funny when Mugs does it.
Well,
so
that's where Kevin wants to take more responsibility on when it comes to the show.
Well, wait,
by the
way, wait till you hear, and then you'll be in favor of it. This was yesterday, late in the show.
Hi, it's Mike Ness from Social Distortion, K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Night one.
They are playing. Go to krock.com for the details. If you'd like a pair of tickets for the USC-UCLA crosstown rivalry game, Saturday, November 26th, be callers one right now.
Hold on a second.
All right, hold on. Let me try it again. Let's set that back up and try it again. All right, can I try it again? Do you mind?
All right, one more time.
Hey, if you'd like a pair of tickets for the USC-UCLA Crosstown Rivalry Game on Saturday, November 26th, plus passes to the K-Rock Tailgate Party located at the LA Sports Arena. Get your tickets right now at usctrojans.com or win them at 1-800-520-1067. So, much better. Thank you. So that was...
Wow.
That was me.
Be callers one.
Well, it's just rivalry. It's callers. And I like how he came out of the gate with... They'll be playing. Go to krock.com. Playing what? Where are they going? What's going on?
That was coming out of a social D.
Right.
I understand.
Okay, so then I thought, well, maybe I should make some mention of the fact that they just, that's an intro, and they just said night one. So maybe I should make a reference to the fact of Acoustic Christmas.
Right. Maybe you should have mentioned Acoustic Christmas then.
You think.
Instead of, they'll be playing. Go to the website, look, see them there.
You would think. But I actually had to stop the song and restart it so that I could try it again.
All right, one more time. Let me hear that one more time.
Come on.
Because I missed it.
It's Mike Ness from Social Distortion, K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Night one.
They are playing. Go to krock.com for the details. If you'd like a pair of tickets for the USC-UCLA crosstown rivalry game, Saturday, November 26th, be callers one right now. Hold on a second.
All right,
can I try it again? Do you mind?
All right, one more time.
Hey, if you'd like a pair of tickets.
So then I tried it again.
That's wonderful.
But here's spectacular.
Here's what happens is you start faltering, and then you hear now a moment with music.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And some people can handle that pressure a little better. I fold. So now I'm getting halfway through, and I go, oh, man, I already screwed up rivalry. But I can still make it. I can still make the save before the end of the intro. I can still right the ship. And then
with callers one.
And then I go to callers one, and I realize, wow, this is a complete disaster from beginning to end. It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
And I had to restart it.
Yeah. But the best way to draw attention to that is to stop completely, then restart the song.
I wasn't going to make it. I was going to get about halfway through, and he was going to start singing. I literally wasn't going to make it.
Are you humbled now, Mugs? Do you realize this is a not-in-my-house situation that really Kevin is stepping up and going, hey, it's mine?
I feel much better.
You were schooled.
That's worse. Done. Just back off.
I'm a big fan of Bill O'Reilly's TV show, by the way. I think he is very entertaining. Obviously, a very, very smart guy. I don't agree with everything that comes out of his mouth, but I enjoy watching him. He is in a bit of a controversy right now and has really been going on the attack this week on his TV show, talking about how all the people are hating on him because of his success, talking about all the enemies that are out to get him.
Oh, I love this so much. This happens with everybody. This happens with rappers, and it happens with everybody. Right. And there's no difference between, there are legitimate haters out there who are hating on somebody because they're successful, but there are also people, and apparently this book by Bill O'Reilly, I haven't read it, of course, has a bunch of inaccuracies in it. And if there are inaccuracies, then they aren't haters.
No, they're just pointing out,
inaccuracies.
Well, Bill O'Reilly says that his new book, a bestseller called Killing Lincoln, should be read by every American school student. And all the gutter sniping in the world does not change that recommendation. But Kevin brings up a good point. There are actual historians who say, hey, there's some stuff that's not right about this book. There's some stuff, you know, there's no, he's not a historian. And there's not a lot of footnotes and he doesn't point to a lot of articles, how he reached certain conclusions.
What does he do? Does he just guess? Remember? Why write the book if you're not going to do any research?
Why write the 125th book about Lincoln's assassination is my question. But one of the reasons there's been so many headlines on this story is because one of the places that is not selling the book because of the inaccuracies within is Ford's Theater in Washington, D.C., which, of course, is the site of President Lincoln's assassination back in 1865. We wanted to find out what that's all about, so we asked producer Dave to line somebody up for us, and Professor Edwin Clark joins us on the phone right now from Ford's Theater. Hi, Professor. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, we're doing well. Were we accurate in our setup of what's going on with the Bill O'Reilly book? You are not selling Killing Lincoln there at your place, right?
Well, here's the thing. Bill O'Reilly says, oh, this is a lie. They're not selling it at the Ford Theater. Oh, the media is just lying. And here's the thing. They're selling it in the gift shop upstairs at the theater.
They are?
But downstairs, where we have the museum that's run by the National Park Service, we're not selling it there because of the historical inaccuracies in the book, don't you know?
So you are selling it, just not downstairs.
Right, not in the museum where things like, oh, I don't know, facts matter.
Well, we haven't heard very much about the specifics of the inaccuracies in the book. I mean, it seems like there's plenty of information out there about President Lincoln. What did he get so wrong this time?
That's why it's just so inexcusable. For example, he references in the book several times Abraham Lincoln being in the Oval Office at the White House.
Right.
Lincoln died in 1865.
Mm-hmm.
The Oval Office wasn't built till after 1908.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Several decades later.
Yeah.
Those are little facts that are pretty easily checked, in our opinion.
That seems like a simple one.
But there's even more grievous errors that we really have a problem with in this book, don't you know?
Like what?
For example, in 1863, when Abraham Lincoln released the Emancipation Proclamation, O'Reilly says he sent it to the Southern states in an email.
What?
Okay, well, that's clearly, there weren't even computers back then in the 1860s.
Right. I mean, Al Gore didn't even invent the internet until the 1980s.
That's true. That's a good point.
He also claims that when he issued the Emancipation Proclamation, the first line of it was, "Suck it, South, I'm on the penny."
I don't know.
Okay.
Was that true?
He wasn't even on the penny before he died.
That's
come
my
on.
Point, exactly. He wasn't it's on the penny wrong. Until 1909. And "suck it, South," I doubt, is in there anywhere.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Regarding his facial hair, O'Reilly says he wore a beard but no mustache because he burnt the mustache off doing flaming Dr. Pepper shots with Benjamin Franklin.
I don't think that's... Does he really say that?
That's what he says. I couldn't believe it.
That's a good drink.
He says that Lincoln wore that stovepipe hat his whole life because he had a lemur underneath it.
A lemur?
Lemur.
A lemur?
Yeah. What? Lemur? Do you think I got Peru was in his hat?
I don't know. Isn't that just making stuff up, Professor?
That's what I think. He said the first draft of the Gettysburg Address was done on Lincoln's iPad.
Okay. Well, that can't possibly be the case. They just came out 2 years ago.
First of all, for us here at Ford's Theater, he claims that Lincoln died in the balcony that night when he was shot in the taint.
What?
Okay, no. It was the side of the head, just like we've always been told.
What?
Right. That wouldn't even be a mortal injury, I don't think, in the taint.
It would hurt like hell.
It would.
It'd be hard to get to, wouldn't
it? It would. It'd be a tough shot.
Well, they claimed he was mooning some people over the edge of the balcony.
I think I like his version better now.
You too.
Hey, party people, welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday. Last night was the red carpet world premiere with the stars of the new Twilight movie. This is what, Lisa? This is the fourth of five movies for Twilight fans, right? And the remarkable thing about this one, I don't remember this last time around, is that people started camping out last Wednesday night is when the first person arrived to camp out down at the Nokia Theater for the premiere last night. People came from all over the world, weren't there to see the movie. They didn't have tickets for the movie. They just came because they wanted to see the Twilight stars show up on the red carpet. So they spent an entire weekend out there waiting for last night.
That is a little hard to believe.
That's the crazy thing, right? Because you would think, yeah, I guess if you're that big a fan and you want to go to the world premiere and you can wait in line to get tickets, maybe. But there was no chance of them going.
Yeah.
And they still showed up.
Just check out the stars.
So we sent Beer Mug down to the red carpet, and then the red carpet said, nope. And so then we sent Beer Mug down to Tent City. There's an actual place called Tent City, and this is where they're occupying Twilight. And Beer Mug was supposed to interview some people and just find out what it was all about.
Mm-hmm.
Beer Mug, tell us what it looked like.
It looked like Occupy Wall Street, L.A., and the Conrad Murray trial.
All put into one.
No kidding.
Yeah. It was a bunch of teenage girls, preteens, mm-hmm. older women. It was an
eclectic. Any dudes at all?
I saw like two dudes. Yeah.
How are preteens camping out for 5 days? How does that happen?
I don't know. I don't know how that works.
Do their parents drop them off and then pick them up at night?
Okay, honey. I'll see you later.
What did they allow down there? Could you actually have tents?
Yeah, they had the street in front of the Staples Center. I forgot which street that is. All blocked off. They had tents under other tents. Like, they had a big awning over the tents.
Right.
They had everything set up. And they had a lounge where you can get married to Edward.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Now, Muggs has been known to lean a little heavy on the word awesome occasionally. And here's his first interview with four different girls, and he just barrels right into it.
All right. Beer Mug, and I'm here with
Whitney,
Brittany,
Destiny,
Tashina.
Awesome. And you guys have been camped out since Thursday for the Twilight premiere.
Yeah.
Wow. Awesome. That's a little insane to me.
Yep. Awesome. Why is it awesome that there are four names that they gave you? How's that awesome?
They were cool names.
Oh, my God.
He's sticking
Whitney,
with it.
Whitney, Brittany, and Destiny?
Right.
Kill me.
You're either in a strip club or you should be killed. Those are the two options right there. But to Muggs, here's the thing about Muggs. I don't think he hears anything.
He's thinking about what he's going to say next.
So what they go, blah, 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 blah. And he goes, awesome.
Yeah,
no idea what's happening.
They could have said, I'm dying of cancer. I maybe have till the end of the week, and this is how I wanted to spend my last week. And Muggs would go, that's fantastic.
That's great.
Well, let me ask you a question.
All right.
Oh, no. Is it a question?
Here's the thing about this. If you have a microphone and you're talking to them, you don't ever need to ask or say, let me ask you a question.
Because they know already.
Well, it's sort of implied in that you've already asked them a question. Mm-hmm. So then you're going to ask them another one. So you don't need to set it up with, let me ask you a question. Already doing that.
Well, let me ask you a question, because I'm not really on board with the whole Twilight thing. I don't really understand it that much. How is it that...
All right. Now, you can hear that it's going to take a while to get there. But do you remember when we were making fun of Twilight because when they got in the sunlight, when Edward got in the sunlight, his skin turned into diamonds?
Yeah, he sparkles.
So we made fun of that. We were like, come on. What's up with that? How's the skin turn into diamonds? Well, this is Muggs' attempt.
Oh, okay. All right.
To really, really bring the heat on these girls. To really turn the spotlight on what a ridiculous storyline that is. And so he begins it that way.
Back in the day, vampires used to be allergic to light, and they used to die. What makes them turn into diamonds all of a sudden?
They're cool. They're just cool. You know, they're cool.
That's it. They're cool. No follow-up. That was it. That was his attempt at it. And this is attack journalism. He told Omar as he was leaving the station, I think Mean Muggs is going to have to come out today.
Oh, he's going to hold their feet to the fire on this crappy series? Is that what you mean?
Was that Mean Muggs?
No. And for a person like myself who's not on board with the Twilight thing, what would you do? What would you say to maybe bring somebody in to the franchise like you guys are?
What?
Is it possible to use more words?
If it came down to it.
Right. It's the strangest question. You can just go, I'm not into Twilight. Tell me about it. I mean, it really is just like unbelievable.
Yeah, for a person like myself who's not on board with the Twilight thing, what would you do? What would you say to maybe bring somebody in to the franchise like you guys are?
Oh my God, it's like the best thing ever. The movie's amazing. Like I can tell you, it's just amazing. You have to like it. Like, I don't understand if you don't.
You have to like it. Sure. You know what Beer Mug says to that? Nothing. He just has no response.
Isn't that awesome?
I don't think he listens. Awesome. I don't think he listens to what anyone is saying.
And I also think, by the way, that he knew, as we know, what you're going to get if you ask teenage girls to describe what their fascination is with Twilight. They just love it. You know what I mean? They just love it because they think it's romantic and the boys are dreamy and they have a singing dog and everybody else is in that movie that they love. Whatever it is. I'm just saying, you're not going to have a serious discussion about Twilight with teenage girls that are camped out to see the stars on the red carpet.
You guys are camped out here all weekend?
Yes.
First of all, great question. As they are sitting there with tents.
Nope, we're leaving Monday morning, Mugs. We just came down we don't even care about the premiere.
Why in your sane mind would you ever do something like this?
Twilight!
Okay. That is insane to me. Are you going to get a chance to go into the premiere?
We're here to watch the actors pass by.
That's it. And you've camped out all weekend to do that. That is insane.
Do you think it's insane?
I don't think Mugs has anywhere to go.
Is he drunk or high? Or what do you think? Is there a mixture going on there?
I think.
He's just Mugsy.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question.
Right back to that. You've already asked her 15.
I'm not down with the whole Twilight thing. So for someone like me, like myself, in 10 words or less.
How about you ask the question in 10 words or less?
How would you get me to hop on board with you guys?
Hot actresses.
Okay. So, hot actresses, the reason you're camping out, I like a lot of things. A lot.
Oh my God.
What just happened?
Oh, my God.
The reason you're camping out, I like a lot of things.
Pause. A lot, is what Mug said.
The reason you're camping out, I like a lot of things. A lot. But I don't think I'd ever camp out for something. You guys are hardcore.
Yes. Very.
Do you think any of the actors in the movie would ever camp out for you guys somewhere?
Yes, Mugs. Yes. Yes. The cast of Twilight is going to sleep.
Was that a rhetorical question?
Intense. And for those people that are
to see a 14-year-old chick from Pomona.
Sidewalk. Well, we have more, but I don't have time.
Oh, come on.
We have a lot more Mugs tape because Mugs is really Mugsy on this one.
I know less now.
Wait till
about
you hear
those people than I did when you started.
Wait till you hear him ask how they use the restroom.
Oh,
how
God.
Do you take
what
what's
do you
the,
how do you
the process? The bowels.
You sit down and you push, right?
Yeah, the bowels and the how do you and the.
If it comes right down to it.
It doesn't even make any sense. So we'll have to get to those a little bit later on the Kevin. Why do you have to make that face when you do your
rock and roll
air guitar?
It's the rock and roll guitar face, man.
I hope not.
Yeah, that's a scary face. Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
When you're at KROQ.com getting all the details for the 22nd annual KROQ Almost Acoustic Christmas, don't forget while you're there, ladies, that you only have until the end of the show Friday to submit your entries for Miss Double December 2012. Would you like to wear the crown of the Kevin and Bean Show for 2012 and come to all of our events, our breakfasts with, our live shows, Weenie Roast, Acoustic Christmas, other concerts? You can go and enter right now through the close of business on Friday. How are they looking so far, Ralph?
Good batch this year.
I haven't seen any of them
yet. Yeah, so. We're well on our way, but we always could use more. So if you're even thinking about it, give it a shot. Send us a photograph. Fill out the application because we want to have the very best to choose from this year.
Hey, look at the beautiful Christine, the current Miss Double December. She told us, hey, I didn't expect to win. I just sent it in because why not? What do I have to lose? And she ended up being Miss Double D and having the year of her life.
She apparently owns no mirrors in her home. How would she not expect to win?
No kidding.
Go to KROQ.com. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show for Tuesday. What's going on?
Canadians are funny.
All right.
My next story. No, apparently they're putting together a comedy Christmas special. Yeah, I love the Christmas special. It's a great time of year for television. You get to see a lot of stuff you wouldn't see ordinarily. Yeah. They're putting a Christmas special together for Canadian television on CTV, starring Russell Peters. Now, he may not be a big star here in the States, but he is a very popular Canadian comedian. He is an indigenous American, I guess you would call him. Can't even call him an American Indian because he's not American. He's Canadian. But, you know, the indigenous peoples up there in Canada. He is a very...
He's filthy, right?
Yes, yes.
Red Peters, yeah.
Yeah. And here's a great cast. John Lovitz is in it. Michael Bublé. Ted Lang from The Love Boat.
What?
Scott Thompson from New Kids on the Block. And Pamela Anderson starring as the Virgin Mary. Now, that's a sense of humor right there.
That is.
I'm on board. Hopefully, we'll get to see it here in the States. We'll have to wait and see. Boy, no one wants to play this Man from U.N.C.L.E. lead. I mentioned to you that George Clooney initially was going to play Napoleon Solo in the spy remake, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., up on the big screen, directed by Steven Soderbergh. I was excited by that prospect. Not so much by the suggestion that they were currently in conversations with Bradley Cooper to play the role. Now, apparently that has gone south, and now they're talking to Channing Tatum to play the role of super slick American secret agent Napoleon Solo.
I can see that.
Really?
Yeah.
He's not suave.
He's
not American Bond.
He seems too young for that role.
He just should punch stuff.
To me.
Isn't that what Bond does?
No. Bond's got to be slick with the ladies and, you know, old school spy stuff. You got to be smooth and deboner, as they say in France.
I think he could be a deboner.
I don't think he'd be a deboner.
I think so.
Apparently, Soderbergh's just got finished working with Channing in another film, and they got along like a house on fire, so we'll have to wait and see what happens. But I do not approve. Glad they run these things past me.
They don't really ask you, do they?
They do.
They don't really, though.
And they asked me, hey, would you like to see a big screen Doctor Who movie? And I said, yes, please. So the powers that be have announced Doctor Who up on the big screen. Now, I know you guys don't watch the Doctor Who.
No.
It's your loss.
Okay.
Brilliant TV series. I've enjoyed it enormously for many,
What's
many
happened
years.
So far, Ralph?
Let me catch you up in the past 30 years of Doctor Who lore. David Yates, who did four of the Harry Potter movies, has been tapped to direct the big screen version of the long-running BBC series. Apparently, the two will not be connected. So, in other words, they're not going to take the current cast from Doctor Who on the TV and put it up on the big screen. So, we'll get a new Doctor with a new companion and new adventures in the TARDIS, but I'm looking forward to it. Although, the guy who's playing Doctor Who these days, Matt Smith, is just terrific. So, I wish he would be in the movie, but I think they'll do a good job and find the appropriate British actor to play the good Doctor. It is Tuesday. That means new CDs and DVDs are released for your entertainment pleasure. Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides with Johnny Depp and Ian McShane is available on DVD today. Larry Crowe, the movie starring and directed by Tom Hanks with Julia Roberts, is on DVD. What a world we live in when a Tom Hanks, Julia Roberts movie sparks no interest in anyone. I don't think anyone wanted to see that.
That just
movie.
Tanked in a hurry, didn't it?
Yeah. I saw it on a plane.
You walked
was
out.
Was it bad? What was the problem with it?
You walked out?
I walked out, yeah. It's just boring. Just boring.
All right. New CDs. Glee, The Music, The Christmas Album, Volume 2.
All right!
Volume 2 of The Christmas Album. I already ordered that.
I downloaded it first thing this
morning. Christmas music.
You did, right, Bean?
I actually haven't yet. What's on? Well, you probably don't know, but I have to wait and see what's on it first.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Oh, you're
going to be discerning.
Now he's going to be picky.
He's got 14,000 Christmas songs, but now he's going to decide whether he buys
I like original
not.
Christmas songs. Oh. Honestly, if it's another collection of all, you know, Oh Holy Night, Silent Night.
All do?
Yeah. There's like eight
not
Christmas songs, and then they just cover them over and over and over again.
That's a myth.
Oh, come
Unfortunately,
on.
It's a myth. I'm telling you, I have hundreds and hundreds of phenomenal songs that are originals, that are Christmas songs, and those are the ones I really enjoy and collect.
Christmas
Liar.
Shoes? Christmas Shoes being one?
That's a terrible song.
Great song. What's your bacon?
Fruitcake.
Fruitcake. That's
that
an original
is the best,
Christmas song.
Yeah.
Here and Now by Nickelback. They've got a new CD. Nickelback.
All right.
Take Care by Drake. Talk That Talk by Rihanna. And Daughtry. Remember Daughtry?
Yeah, sure.
American Idol?
Was he a winner?
He wasn't. He got booted. He was like fourth or fifth out of the top 10. And he went on to the biggest career of anyone that season. So pretty spectacular. He's got a new CD called Break the Spell. You can check that out. Celebrity birthdays today. Who are we talking through the window? What the hell's going on? You're looking at trying to land a plane over there. You're waving your hands.
Intern Danny's holding up signs that I can't read.
I got to get a new job. I know I've been saying this for a long time. Seriously.
I think this is what happened.
I'm going on a two-week hiatus.
I think what happened is she held up a sign that said, Katie is here.
Okay.
I think, which is a weird thing because we've never communicated that way.
Right?
I don't know.
I thought the time was now. I thought someone was in the cockpit with a box opener the way you guys were running around.
I don't know what's happening.
Very distracting.
Yeah.
Just birthdays, people were born, whatever.
Have cake.
Yeah, have cake. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Hey, party people, it is the most wonderful time of the year. The 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas details announced on the Kevin and Bean Show yesterday. Night number one is Saturday, December 10th at the Gibson Amphitheater. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. for K-Rock Street Team members. So you want to get yourself over to krock.com and sign up to be a Street Team member. That way you can see Bush and Blink-182 and Chevelle and Incubus, Newfound Glory, Social Distortion 311, and Young the Giant. And that is just night number one. We'll have night number two details for you tomorrow.
Speaking of Bush,
yeah!
He was waiting to do that, were you?
Yes! We were all thinking that, but did it need to be said? Come on!
Woo!
Ladies and gentlemen, the beautiful Katie Morgan joins us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is going to be Ask a Porn Star in a couple of minutes with your phone calls, but first, let's get to know Katie. Hello, my dear.
Hello.
This is a ridiculous time of the day for, A, any hot chick to be up, but, B, particularly somebody in your line of work. How are you awake at 7 o'clock in the morning?
Technically, I'm still awake from the night before, which is way more handy because little bit of sleep really messes me up.
So did you come from Vegas?
I did.
Ah.
Yeah, we did our radio show last night, and then we packed up some stuff and hopped in the car, and here we are. Hello, L.A.
She's more hyper and awake and clear than we are.
I know.
It's because it's still yesterday
for me. It's disconcerting. I see. Right. Okay.
Let's before we find out about the adult film work, let's talk about the radio show, because this has been hugely successful. Kevin Smith has the network called The Smodcast. Our own Ralph Garman does a show, of course, with him, the HBO show. And you're one of his featured performers. Tell me about your show.
I am. I have Having Sex with Katie Morgan, which originally was me and Kevin doing a live show on stage. But then we had such a hard time lining up our two very complicated schedules that I ended up doing it live from Las Vegas with a girlfriend of mine who is also a...
Even better.
Former porn star.
Even better.
And she's way hotter than I am, in my opinion.
I don't know if I'd agree with that. I've spent a lot of time researching that question. I'm calling it a draw.
All right. I'll take a draw. Fair enough.
Now, what's the radio show? What do you do?
Well, the show itself is Having Sex with Katie Morgan. There's a comma, Having Sex, comma, with Katie Morgan. And we talk sex. We talk relationships. We talk any kind of advice. And based on our many, many years of very interesting practice and experience.
Sure.
And we have a lot to draw off of in that area.
You're both former porn stars?
Yes.
Or still current? No?
No, we're both retired. I did 7 years. She did six. So we made a few hundred movies each. And
a few hundred?
On with the show, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Katie, this might be a good first question, and we are going to take calls from our listeners as well at 1-800-520-1067. Is that a typical length career for a woman in the business, 6 or 7 years, like you and your partner?
It's not. Actually, in general, the average span for a porn star is about a year they're in and out.
Yeah. 1 year.
I mean, that's average, averaging with people who've been in for 10, 12, 15 years. But in general, 1 year
is
pretty average.
Is it a rough existence or...?
It's really not a rough existence. It's definitely a fast-paced lifestyle as far as you work when they're shooting movies. And
they're shooting movies all the time,
apparently. All the time, and with no unions. So sometimes for long times, 14, 16, 18 hours on some features, it can happen.
Oh, my God.
So when you're doing it, it's kind of fun. It's fast-paced. It's a lot of money. But it can be a lot when you first start of, like, new stuff and hardcore stuff, and not everybody falls in love with it the way some of us did. Some of us were like, this is the best thing ever, and we stayed forever.
Now, is part of the reason that you stayed as long as you did is because you were so successful? I mean, when you get to the echelon where you are a name that people will seek out, I would imagine the life becomes a little bit more comfortable. You have a little bit more flexibility with your schedule. You get to call your own shots, right?
I'm very flexible.
Yes.
Technically, yes, I did get successful in the industry. I was trying to hang around anyway just because I loved it so much. You have to kind of restart stuff. And for me, I was really lucky. HBO picked me up and really forwarded me just even inside the adult industry because then people knew my name. Before I did the HBO, I was really more of just a average working porn star. I was never a contract girl. I was never huge in the industry itself. HBO really did that for me.
And that's your, when you say HBO, you're talking about the television network. You are a sexpert on HBO. You have a show
yes.
there as well, right?
I host multiple documentaries on HBO. They're on all the time. They all have different titles. They're
Wait a minute. They
Katie
replay
Morgan
stuff
something.
On HBO? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it'll be around until I'm like 40, I'm sure. So
nice.
When you talk about those girls who get out after a year, you made some reference to something that I thought was worth following up on. Is it that they get to a point where they don't want to go any further in the types of things they're asked to do, or they start to become uncomfortable with what's necessary for them to do, and that's why they quit?
No, it's even simpler than that. They shoot out everything that they are interested in doing and willing to do, and without some kind of change in what they do or how they look or learning to act, without some kind of change to keep them going past all those new girl gonzos that everybody wants to shoot them for, then they just kind of run out of work.
Isn't that interesting?
So they do everything that's possible that they're interested in a year, right. And then they go, done it.
Well, I mean, we're talking 80, 100 movies easy in a year. So
jeez.
You make a lot of money real quick, but then they're done with you unless you have something else to offer. For
right.
me, I did all right with the acting because I definitely moved into features after the gonzo. But I also changed my look and got, you know, big boobs. So
can we get a shot of that, Dave?
Oui. Can you see them past my giant scarf?
Yeah, it is a little much, I have to be honest.
Do you,
it's not that
do
cold
you
in here.
Find, let me ask one more question before the break, and we come back with listener questions for Ask a Porn Star. Katie Morgan is our guest here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Do you find that when you're, you know, 22, 23 or something like that, you're looking over your shoulder at the 18 and 19-year-olds who are showing up for work, and you're going, those bitches!
Yes, and by the time I was 26, 27, getting out of the industry, that was actually a bit of a deciding factor. I was
really?
Quickly coming to an end of competitiveness with these hot, hot chicks coming straight out of high school as, like, prom queens, beauty queens, and they're like, we're going to be porn stars. And they
That's
were.
That's the way this country should be moving.
Yay, America.
I am down with it. So they would say to you, do you want to do the brown necktie? Because we got somebody waiting and will. And you go, I guess not. I'm out.
Yeah, no brown neckties for me.
Not for you.
No ties of any variety.
Just checking. All right.
I don't want to know. All right. 1-800-520-1067. That is the toll-free number here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's been a long time since you've had this opportunity to ask a porn star. Call now. Talk to our guest, Katie Morgan, when we return right after this. The beautiful Katie Morgan in studio with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show from the popular podcast on Kevin Smith's Smodcast Network called Having Sex, comma, with Katie Morgan. Very disappointed about that, comma. She also has a series on HBO. Katie Morgan's Porn 101 airs December 1st, and perhaps you've seen her in some of her greatest movies like Desperate House Whores, Flesh Dance, another one of my favorites, and Meet the Twins 8, I think was. And you were also in the Busty Beauties 20, if I recall correctly, Katie, right?
I was. That was a classic.
You don't have to tell me. Katie is here because from time to time we like to give you the opportunity to ask questions of people who have fascinating lives or in fascinating industries, and you can do that right now at 1-800-520-1067. Your turn to ask a porn star.
So you want to ask a porn star? Boobs large, you give the inside of my pants a big charge. Having sex in front of the world, I really like your boobies. I gotta go now, I'm gonna go watch one of your movies. Ask a porn star, ask a porn star, porn star, porn star.
Did you just run out?
I love it. Omar gets all be real on us.
1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with John? He's on line one. I'm sure a question you've been asked before, Katie, but people always want to know. John, welcome to the show. You're on with Katie Morgan. Go ahead.
Good morning, Katie. Good morning, everyone.
Hi. Hello.
Hey, Katie, here's my question. How do porn stars who have kids deal with the stigma of the porn industry and what goes along with, you know, maybe the kids' friends wanting to use your videos for target practice or something like that?
Yeah, nicely said.
Well, you know, it's a heavy subject. It's actually hard for me to speak on it because I have no children and zero interest in having them.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes it easier.
Super easy for me.
Do you have friends that have kids, and how do they deal with it?
I do. All of their kids are still young.
Yeah.
Way too young to even discuss the topic.
But just as soon as they get old enough, their friends are going to go, I saw your mom.
Totally. I do know people in the industry who have some older kids, and over the years and stuff, have actually become old enough to know and deal with it. For the most part, totally normal. Like, oh, okay. A lot of them were tipped off kind of early that mom and dad were kind of sexual.
Yeah.
Usually with, like, whatever, excessive making out in front of people even.
Sure.
People do it. I've never heard of anybody having a problem from their kids, or like the kids not talking to them once they were mature.
The only problem is the kids always insist on doing homework at your house.
Sure, why not?
Let's
Mom
go
has
to
hot
your
friends.
House, right?
And I would imagine there are a lot of adult performers who just would try to keep it a secret and hope their kids never found out, so they didn't have to deal with it too, right? That must go on.
Sure, and if the kids are young enough too, I mean, really, you're talking 18, 19 years. And then that porn's pretty much gone. I mean, yeah, you could maybe find it.
Oh, you could find it.
Well, right. Sure.
But why would you? But I mean, the point is, they're looking at the new stuff, right?
And then your kid walks up and asks you what the
Cincinnati bow tie
is, and you have to explain it to him.
And I will tell you this, Katie, and I'm sure you talked about this on your podcast, the stigma that is still associated in a lot of people's minds with people who choose to be adult performers, which, by the way, is a completely legal business for adults. I mean, the Sasha Gray story this week is a perfect example of the parents who were all up in arms because she came to school in red for little kids. I mean, get over it. So what? So she used to have sex on film. That doesn't mean she doesn't care about your kids and don't want to read to your kids. What do you make of all that?
I am all for literate children.
So you're a thumbs up on literate
kids. I'm a thumbs up on reading to kids.
Right.
You know, honestly, I get a lot of email from people who are not 18 yet, and I just simply, as soon as I get to that line and I just put it down, I want to be 100% respectful of parents mm-hmm. and their children and how they want to raise them. And it's seriously none of my business. As soon as they turn 18, I will send them a porno movie and a signed autograph if they call me.
Right.
Like, you know, it's that line. So I just avoid kids in general. Sasha's thing was kind of weird. Like, I don't think I would go to a school and read the kids.
You wouldn't have done that, right.
No, but I would go to a college and talk to students, and I have done that. So I'm all about spreading the word and go porno, and there's nothing wrong with having sex on camera or having a lot of sex in your private life or wherever you enjoy getting down. Get over it. I don't care. But, yeah, leave the kids out of it. I'm kind of anti anything to do with kids.
Don't mix with kids, yeah.
Let's talk to Johnny real quick. He's got the flip side of the first question we had here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ask a porn star. Johnny, you're on with Katie Morgan. Go ahead.
My question was, is it difficult to enjoy sex out of work? Like with an average Joe, that's my question.
Right.
Not at all. It's actually completely the opposite. Work, sex on a porn set, yes, we have all these fabulous men with all these fabulous endowments, but that's work, man. You got to show the camera, you got to do weird angles, and often things don't fit as well as you'd like them to. At home, everything's the right size, and you can keep it closed and keep things dark and warm, and it's just much, sex itself is way more enjoyable.
But you're not
private.
Tired of it. I think his question
God, no.
is you're tired of it at the end of the day, like, that's the last thing I want to do
now. No, I'm a huge nympho, always have been. I love it. I never get tired of it. And the more I have, the more I seem to want. So,
Lisa, why can't you be more like Katie? Seriously, what's going on here?
How
do you know she isn't?
You know?
That was going to be my question as well.
All right, let me ask one from the email, and then we'll take a break and come back with more phone calls for Katie Morgan. By the way, you can follow her on Twitter, and you should, at the Katie Morgan as well. This one's from Tim, who writes in. Let me see if I can paraphrase this in a way that's radio-friendly. Here's my question for Ask a Porn Star. Do they decide ahead of time how the scene will end, I guess is essentially what he's asking, or is it just you go with it and make it up at the, you know, at that moment?
There are two schools of thought to this, believe it or not. The first is that the partners and the director work everything out, and we're talking everything, positions, location, everything, at the beginning. And even the beats give us 3 minutes of this, 3 minutes of that, 5 minutes of this, and they'll call it off, and we switch, transition, if you will.
Sure.
The other school of thought is we want to see the natural love happening. Here are two people and action. And in that case, no, you just kind of go with it. It depends on the director's style and the style of the performers to some extent. I can go either way. I'm a switch hitter.
Yeah. Great answer. What's the least amount of time you've known somebody before you had sex with them when you show up for a work? I mean, is it literally you shake hands, say hi, and then drop your outfit and you're off?
There has been those moments. I would say the absolute shortest would have been like 10 minutes from intro to landing on camera.
Wow.
Especially if he got there late.
Wow.
Not really. I know people who've gone that fast in real life and like hooked up with dudes in the bathrooms at clubs. So
good point. Now we're talking. Yeah. Now we're getting somewhere.
And they do the
Boston
pancake.
Right.
Well, I don't know about that. That's not legal in California, by the way.
That's true.
1-800-520-1067. We have time for your calls next. It's Ask a Porn Star. Katie Morgan is here. We'll return on this right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Ask a Porn Star.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 7:41.
So you want to ask a porn star? Boobs large. You give the inside of my pants a
a big charge. Having sex in front of the world, I really like your boobies. I gotta go now, I'm gonna go watch one of your movies. Ask a porn star, ask a porn star, porn star.
The porn star on the other end of the phone right now at 1-800-520-1067 is actually retired. You get a, is there a ceremony? Is there a trophy, a watch? What do you get when you walk away from the adult business, Katie Morgan?
When I walked away, I got the Crossover Star of the Year Award, which was kind of fabulous. And this year, actually, well, I guess technically next year, 12 in like January, I'm getting inducted into the Legends of Erotica.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah. I'm all Hall of Famed and shit this year.
All right.
Okay. Oops, sorry. Right. Radio.
There's a girl that's been doing a podcast too long. She forget what you can and can't say. And, of course, Katie was also seen in Zach and Miri Make a Porno with your friend Kevin Smith. That's probably the most mainstream thing I would imagine that people have seen you in, right?
Absolutely. That was the biggest screen I was ever on. I had never seen myself from quite that angle. It was shocking.
All right, let's get back to a few more calls in our remaining moments here. We'll talk to Eric because I know he'll be speaking for a lot of guys who are listening right now thinking, hey, if I get into the porn business, I can have sex with Katie Morgan. What? Eric, you're on. Go ahead. Ask a porn star.
How's it going?
Yeah, it's going good. How about you?
Let me tell you.
Yeah. Go ahead, Eric.
I was just more wondering, like, do you have any pointers, like, how to get into the industry? Because, I mean, like, I know, like, I don't want to sound like a stud or anything, but, I mean, I try to...
Oh,
like,
you know, don't. Don't worry about that.
I was just kind of like, you know, when you go do your business with ladies, like, some of them really can't hang. That's like, oh, okay, so you're done. What do I do now?
So, Eric's...
He's too good. He's too much to handle. He's too much for one woman.
Right?
So he needs an entire industry filled with them. Sure.
Eric, die. Thank you for calling.
However, for people who aren't tools like Eric, what is the advice you give? Because I'm sure that's got to be the number one question you get asked from guys is how do I get into the business, right?
It comes up a lot.
Because they think it's awesome and it's easy, but it's not.
It's not. It's actually very hard work. What I suggest and what everybody will tell you, get a group of friends. Find a girl you've never been with. Get a group of friends of yours, male friends. The less attractive, the better. And a camera. And try it. If you can do it in front of your own friends with a random stranger, go to the industry and get an agent because you are made for it. If you are like most people, panic at the last minute and go, what am I doing? Then you're normal and you should not be a porn star.
Most people probably shouldn't get into it?
No, it's very difficult. It takes a certain mental connection between man and member to be able to function that way in public, in front of everybody, and put on a show.
Nobody's still having sex with the hedgehog, right? He's done. Please tell me he's done.
I think he might still be working.
Really?
He was when I left, but I've been out for a few years. I know he's still around at least as non-sex roles. I don't know if he's still doing scenes, but he was up until a couple years ago.
Are there times, has this happened to you where you show up and you have no attraction whatsoever to your partner that day?
Early on it happened because at the beginning I was like, take all comers. I'll meet everybody. I'll see what's going down.
Yeah, watch the language.
Yeah, I know. And so I did. It happened where I would like work with a guy and be like, well, that wasn't good. But as the years went on, I got pickier and pickier and just began requesting the guys that I knew I would do great scenes with that I was madly attracted to. And by the end of it, I only did fabulous, amazing, wonderful scenes with crazy hot men that I was so into. So, yeah, it ended up being good.
Did you have sex again with the guy who did the human cocaine?
Not after that. That was the last scene.
That'll do it.
And I actually talked about this on the radio show the other night. He also had a second problem, that dude. He was a compulsive thigh slapper. You know how most dudes are like butt slappers?
Sure.
Like you're from behind. You're like, yeah, smack it. He would do that forward, inner thigh.
What?
So bizarre. So uncalled for. And no matter how many times I tried to get him to stop, he couldn't. It was like his thing. He would like back up and go, yeah, and slap my thigh. That was the last time I ever worked with that man.
Man.
Katie, what did you do for boyfriends over the course of your career? Do you always date people in the industry?
I did. When I first got into the industry, I just ended a very short early on marriage. And ended up in what became a porno monogamous relationship for about 7 years, which covered basically my entire career. Wow. And by porno monogamous, I mean I would have sex with him at home and everybody else on camera.
Right.
Ah.
So just nobody else in the real world. He was a photographer for the industry, but he was not a performer. And after that, I got out of the industry He actually kind of passed away after a while, which was sad and shocking.
You killed
him with sex. I know, I did.
You sexed him right to death.
He was a great guy, though. 7 great years.
Wow.
And then I met my husband and married, and he gave me monogamy. Sorry, world.
How about that? So is it a happily ever after story for you then?
I do believe it is. It's happily ever 3 years after so far. So knock on wood.
So far, so good.
All right. Here's the question I should have asked at the beginning, and I forgot until right now. Dr. Drew, who we love on this program, he's a big downer when it comes to porn. Every single time he has somebody call into Loveline, he's always convinced that they're into porn or wanting to get into porn because there's been inappropriate touching or they've got daddy issues.
They're damaged.
He's a doctor, and he maybe knows better than I do, but I argue with him all the time and say, I think there are a lot of well-adjusted women who just see it as a great opportunity to make a lot of money and have fun doing it. Who's right in this one, Katie?
Well, I clearly agree with you guys in the fact that not everybody is damaged. Of course, there are people who have had issues and end up in porn on account of it. That wasn't mine. My issue was jail and being arrested and needing some quick money and also being really, really horny and liking sex.
Now, you said jail.
Yes, federal prison.
You got caught coming across the border with what?
100 pounds of weed from Mexico.
Just for personal use.
That just sounds like a weekend, though. I mean, I don't know what's the big deal there.
That's what I thought when I was 21, having grown up in California. But no, turns out big deal. They don't like that.
Yeah. And did they pull you over? Like you see on Border Wars, they pull you over and they search your car. They tear it apart and it was everywhere.
Oh, yes. They put me in a little room. The next time I saw the car, it looked like it had exploded. They had peeled the roof back.
Oh, man.
Like it was insane. And then you're on bail, 4 months federal prison and 2 years probation, all while doing porn. I actually started doing porn about 6 months into my bail. So,
wow, all right. Yeah. She's got it all figured out.
Yeah.
What a fascinating life and a fascinating woman. Let me give you the details on how you can catch up with Katie. You can follow her on Twitter at TheKatieMorgan. The website is katiemorgan.com. The podcast is Having Sex, with Katie Morgan. You can get that on the Smodcast Network. And you're going to be on HBO, back on HBO December 1st. Is this a new special called Porn 101 where you do – it's basically it's instructional, right?
No, actually, Porn 101 is the history of pornography.
Ah. Oh, okay.
And it is not new. It's older. It's been out a few years. There's a whole bunch of them. They all have different titles. There's Sex Quiz 1 and 2, Sex Tips 1 and 2, Katie Morgan on Sex Toys. Most of them, I guess all of them really, are documentaries. I am a documentarian educating the world on sex and sexuality through the ages and now.
There's a lot of Katie out there. I like it. This is a good thing to find out today.
Dun, dun, dun.
Ask a porn star.
Thank you for coming in, Katie. We appreciate it.
You got it. You guys rock.
Today, all kinds of advanced devices are part of our lives, which is why there's one network that should definitely be part of your life, Verizon Fios. It's the network that enhances the abilities of all your devices. Learn more at Verizon.com/Fios.
Part two of Beer Mug's interviews with the Twilight fans camping out for the weekend on the red carpet to see the Twilight kids show up for the premiere last night.
That's awesome!
On the way. Right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin Amin Show. Also, your friend Schmidt from The New Girl, Max Greenfield, who plays Schmidt on that TV show, is going to be joining us next hour too, Ralph.
Love me some Schmitty.
First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Why do all the good ones want to quit? Brad Pitt has announced he wants to quit acting when he turns 50, just 3 years from now. And yet Adam Sandler's still making movies, so go figure. He said he'll probably move behind the camera at one point.
Well, his looks have gone, let's face it. I mean, you can barely look at a guy like that anymore.
He said until he starts directing, he'll only choose to act in films that his children can one day be proud of. If I'm choosing a film now, Brad said, I want to be maybe less immature than things I have done in the past. I'm very conscious that when they're adults, I want it to mean something to them. I want them to think, Dad's all right.
Note to self, don't see Brad Pitt movies.
How dare you, sir?
You know what's a shame about that?
He'll be farting, driving a Segway as a mall cop. Sorry, Kevin, you won't be able to enjoy his films.
What's sad about that is he gets all the press for being, you know, he's in the tabloids because he's married to Angelina Jolie and because he's a pretty boy and all that. He's a really, really good actor, though.
Yes, he is.
He's the kind of guy.
People don't ignore that because of the other stuff.
I do. I think he is thought more of as a celebrity than he is as an actor. I really do. And I think that he's a really good actor, and I'd like to see the work that a guy like him can do in his 60s, 70s, and beyond.
You did. It's called Benjamin Button. Look at it. There's all kinds of ages in that movie. It's amazing.
In real time.
In real time, too. Leonardo DiCaprio, another pretty good actor, gave the world a big gift on his 37th birthday. See, he gave. He didn't take, Kevin. Mm. He gives.
I don't know what that means.
I'm sure you don't. New York Post page 6 got a great story about a birthday party he threw for himself, which sounds a little self-indulgent until you realize that all the proceeds from the party went to his foundation, the Leonardo DiCaprio Foundation, which is an amazing charity that not only protects wildlife, but provides disaster relief all over the world and clean water projects for many parts of the globe that don't have it. Raised $1.3 million at his birthday party. Guests like Robert De Niro, Chase Crawford, Naomi Campbell, Benicio Del Toro, Kevin Connolly all stopped by and contributed money to his cause. So he took a day that was about him and turned it inside out, man, and made it about the world.
Why?
Because he's good.
Oh.
That's what I'm going to be doing at San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino on Thursday.
I'm sorry?
I'm going to be taking my day and turning it out.
It is your birthday.
And making it about the world.
Right. So you're going to let everyone
win. The
world
of booze.
You're going to let everybody else win?
World of coke and hookers. That's the world I'm going to be given to.
So whatever you win Thursday night, then you're saying now you're going to donate to poor kids who don't have water?
I can't even win, man. It's a $10,000 grand prize.
We can't win?
For the tournament. We're not eligible.
What?
So if you and I get down to the final table, we're staring across from each other.
What?
It's just for me bragging rights. Just me giving you a genital slap and teach you how the game is played. That's the only thing I'll get out of it.
Please.
Who's the better poker player between you two?
Probably Kevin.
Probably me.
Wow. Big man.
I don't know.
Big man.
Although I lasted longer than he did last time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Kevin's got a tell.
How dare you?
He goes, oh, two pair. Sometimes he'll do that when he's got two pair. He'll say, damn it, I lost this. And he'll walk away from the table, and it turns out he won, and they have to go get him and bring him back. Yeah. Kevin's a great poker player.
He's
magical.
I'm still me, after all.
That's the problem.
Yep.
No matter how you slice it, it's still baloney. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Hello? This thing on?
Yeah.
Madonna embarrasses her kids. Her kid, I guess. How many she got? You got the Lourdes, right? She got that one.
Right.
She's got another one, right? Apparently, they're embarrassed because mom refuses to dress like a 53-year-old woman.
I imagine.
Yeah. She was recently out last Saturday night wearing a white blouse, fishnets, thigh-high boots, and a pair of black panties. That's all she wore, no pants.
Okay.
And word has it that her teenage daughter especially gets embarrassed when mom dresses like that. 53. Look, I don't care if you're Madonna or not. Put some freaking pants on.
And you
That's
know that
embarrassing.
She
especially
has
going
to be,
out with your kid.
Yeah.
She has to be sitting at home looking at Lady Gaga and the crazy stuff that she does. And she goes, hey, what about me? I'm over here.
I have no pants on. Look at me, no pants. At some point, don't you have to sort of age gracefully and make a transition into another phase?
You would think.
Life.
You would think, sure.
Yeah. I know you're going to find this ridiculous. But
that's ridiculous.
There's a show on TLC, I think. No, it's the HGTV called Selling LA. And my wife and I, this is going to sound bizarre, but we get into these real estate shows, these house hunting shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they've got all different ones. They've got like House Hunting International, which shows people want to move to another country looking for a home. And there's one called Selling LA, which is just about selling high price real estate homes in Los Angeles.
Right.
Which I find fascinating, not only because there's some amazing homes out there for prices that you can't imagine anyone would pay for a house. They do on a regular basis.
Right.
But the people buying, selling homes at that level are just douchebags. And I just love to hate them and scream at the television. But almost every female realtor on that show is like some former model or actress type or whatever.
Sure.
And they're all like 52, 55 with the Botox faces. And they're all wearing outfits that are just... I'm trying desperately to look like I'm 25.
Yeah.
And they're 50-ish, and it just is creepy. It just makes you feel icky. Seems like nobody's willing to sort of age anymore and just sort of progress gently into that stage.
You can
stage
be a beautiful
life.
55.
You absolutely can, but
you don't have to be.
You don't have to have your the hem of your dress just below your kuka, you know? You can add a cut, you can add a foot of fabric. No one's going to judge you. No one's going to judge you poorly by that.
I think a lot of that is Southern California, too, Ralph. I don't think that's the case in much of the country.
I do, too. That's why I think that Selling LA program is very entertaining for me. Yeah. All the dudes are gay. All the women are desperately trying to pretend they're 22.
I wonder if you don't have time for good TV shows.
That's a good TV show.
Earlier today, we were talking to Ralph. I got no time for any shows. This is crazy.
Look, if I want to spend time with the wife in front of the television, I have to make some concessions. I'm just glad she picked some fairly entertaining programs. And you've never seen it, Kevin. You might like it. You might go, wow, that guy's a douchebag.
We'll never know.
It's fun to mock. Today's celebrity birthday is Judge Wapner from People's Court. He is 92 years old today. Actor Ed Asner celebrates his 82nd birthday. I bought
Some solar tiles were in from my roof. Never worked great.
Really?
Yeah.
On one of those infomercials?
No, he came to my house. He was selling the solar panels. I don't know what was going on.
Feel bad for him?
82 years old. There's no catch. He's 82 years old. Sam Waterston is 71. Kevin Eubanks from The Tonight Show. Another Philly boy, 54 years old. Chad Kroeger of Nickelback celebrates his 37th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Linkin Park on K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. Looking ahead toward tomorrow's all-new Kevin and Bean show. It's a good one. The 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Night number two details are going to be happening for you at around 7:20 or so. We'll give you all the information you need to know about night two this year. Also, we have Dan Henderson from UFC 139 tomorrow, and we'll talk to the new editor-in-chief of Maxim magazine. All of that tomorrow right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right, let's talk about beer mugs. He went out to the Tent City where the kids for Twilight are, have been... Well, they were camping since last week.
That's crazy.
Just so that they could be at the movie premiere, but not go in and see the movie, just so that they could see the stars come into the movie.
Yeah, but how often do you get to see vampires, right?
Yeah. Okay, but they're really just actors. We were talking about this last week. Look, there are celebrities that I am in love with, that I worship. I would never camp out one night. I wouldn't camp out 5 hours to see a celebrity in person. These kids are out there for 5 days to see people from a distance on a red carpet. What's that about?
But I think that I think that payoff is not the stars coming by. I think the payoff is that it's just fun to hang out with people and just go through that. Don't you?
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, I think like people that that camp out at Coachella and stuff like that. Same thing. It's just it turns into its own.
Right, so it's a Twilight people, community yeah. more
yeah,
than anything.
Love it as much as they do and can talk about it all day.
Exactly.
But Coachella is 3 days with something to offer. People were camped out for a week.
I hear you. Just to see stars walk by. I'm with you on that. I'm just saying, I think the camping experience is part of the payoff. It isn't just waiting for the stars to walk by. But we sent Muggs out there, and he was asking people why he should get into Twilight, and they told him that there are some hot actresses.
The reason you're camping out, I like a lot of things. A lot. But I don't think I'd ever camp out for something. You guys are hardcore.
Yes. Very.
Do you think any of the actors in the movie would ever camp out for you guys somewhere?
I think that's a great question. I'm glad you asked it.
Yeah.
No is the answer to that.
Let me ask you one final question.
How many times can you say, let me ask you one final question?
Not enough.
How many? Honestly, you said it like we played clips earlier this morning. You already said it like 4 times.
I know.
So ask one final question.
Let me ask you one final question. Do you guys get a lot of flack? For being Twilight fans?
Of course we do.
Especially since they were having games over there on the staples. Oh my gosh, they were just telling us, boo, Twilight sucks.
They were telling us we had no life.
No life.
Yeah. Let's see. Games played at Staples Center. No NBA. That would be Kings fans. And they did the right thing. And then Muggs has this well-crafted question.
One final question. I'll let you guys go.
To what? Let him go to what?
That's a good
just
point.
Back to camp?
Just back to camp?
Back to not doing anything?
Yeah. One final question.
All right.
How many more movies left in the Twilight thing?
How many movies are left in the Twilight thing?
By the way, the one thing that I learned when we had Beer Mug's red carpet interviews for Harold and Kumar is that he never has any idea what the question is going to be when he starts the sentence. And a lot of times that's why you get, let me ask you one more question, or let me ask you about that, because he doesn't know what it's going to be yet. He's desperately hoping something will pop into his head.
Even when he says, let me ask you one more question, that pausing, still there might not be anything there.
Right.
I speak Muggs. I go through the same thing. Now, can't you just ask him how they go to the bathroom? Or do you have to say it like this?
Let me ask you, how have you taken care of the, you know, the normal hygienic procedures?
That is a well-crafted question. You can't just say, how do you go to the bathroom?
No. Let me ask you, how have you taken care of the, you know, the normal... hygienic procedures.
Now, I want you to listen to the girl. I don't know how old she is, 15, and how much better spoken she is than Muggs.
Well, if you buy a coffee at Starbucks, which is right over there, you get to pee. And I have, my friend has a hotel 1.5 miles that way.
How is the follow-up not, so if you have to go number two, you have to walk 1.5 miles? How do you not follow?
That's a good point.
That's a long way to, a long way to Pooville.
Because we, which, by the way, I think our guest last hour, Katie Morgan, started that series. we've learned through the course of Beer Mug's Red Carpet interviews, he does not listen to what the people are saying back to him. He's right now, while she's talking, thinking of what his next and final question is going to be.
Right, but he doesn't think of anything, and that's why he stalls with, let me ask one more question, and still he doesn't think of anything. So he's not listening to the answer and not thinking of questions.
Right.
What is going on?
That's bad. Samantha, you are a camper. Literally. You're camped out here in front of Staples Center.
Is that a question, sir?
For the Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 1 saga, did I get that right? Because I'm not on board with Twilight. And I'm kind of finding, like, you know, trying to find a reason for, you know, everybody's camping out here. Why are you camped out, and how long have you been camped out?
All right, Bean, how could you have said that?
Well, for starters, Muggs, and this might be useful to you in the future, the reason that you add literally to a sentence is to establish that what you are saying is exactly what's happening in real life, okay? You are a camper literally distinguishes it from what? That she's a metaphorical camper?
That she's a camper in her mind, man.
That she's not really a camper? You're a camper, literally, is fairly redundant for starters. And secondly, all you're trying to ask is, hey, how long you been here? That's it.
That's it.
I've been here since Tuesday. I'm not here for Robert Pattinson or Kristen Stewart or Taylor Lautner. I came all the way from Tennessee just for Peter Facinelli.
All right. Now, right there I go, wait a minute. Hold on. Just hold on. Hold on. Hold on. You came from Tennessee to camp out for a fourth-tier actor?
Who does he play in the movies, Lisa?
I don't know.
You know who he is.
Yeah, I know who he is. I do. I think
Dr. Carlisle is what I mean.
I was just going to say, yeah, he's the head of the family.
So that's the only reason she's here, and she came all the way out from Tennessee for him.
Wow. Wow.
And he signed my poster, and then he saw that I was shaking as I handed my marker, and he asked if I was okay, and then he asked me for a hug. And so he gave me a hug, which just got me crying, because that's like a dream come true. So then he gave me a bigger hug, which made me freak out even more, and so then he kissed me on the cheek, so like, my life is complete.
Wow.
Yes!
Well, I thought that story was going to end in rape, because it sounded like the more he did to her, the more she wanted.
And then I wanted more, and then I found it funny, though, that after the minute and a half that she rambled about that story, this is what Muggs came up with.
Wow.
It's very helpful.
Let me ask you, how have you taken care of the,
yes, the,
you know, the normal things that you, hygienic you procedures?
Procedure. I have to walk a mile and a half.
So what you guys are saying is...
You're perfect.
Okay.
Just...
Blink 182, also Bush, Chevelle, Incubus, Newfound Glory, Social Distortion, 311, Young the Giant. That's your big lineup for night number one of the 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert. Saturday night, December 10th at the Gibson. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. for Street Team members. Go to krock.com and sign up for that. It is free to enter. And then, of course, tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show, we'll also have details for night number two. So you got that going for you, which is good.
And you got New Girl on tonight, which is also a good show.
Love that show.
So you got that as well.
Hey, girl, what you doing?
I think you hit on something, Kevin. I like the theme, too, but it does seem like every week it gets a little bit shorter.
Yeah, this last week it was like, it's jazz. And that's all they gave her. It's like, hey, hey, hey.
I guess there's just too much comedy to pack into 30 minutes. We are pleased to welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show one of the stars of The New Girl, Tuesday nights on Fox. Max Greenfield joins us on the show. He is, of course, the Mighty Schmidt. Hey, Max, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
Very good, thank you.
I can't imagine what it's like to be an actor, and you're a guy who's been in the business for a number of years. You've worked on a lot of TV shows, some for longer than others. So most you just get fired after one episode, but... Then you walk into a show like The New Girl that is just an instant smash hit. I mean, wasn't this thing picked up for season two after about two episodes were on the air?
Well, we got picked up for a full season. We didn't get season two yet, although maybe you know something I don't.
Let's face it, you're going to get the second one.
But, I mean, it just came out of the gate so fully formed like a hit. I mean, it just must be an actor's dream to do what you think is good work and then have it actually be received that way as well.
It's like hitting the lottery. It's still kind of sinking in, and it's not so much that, I mean, we feel like we're doing good work. Everything kind of was behind the show, but at the same time, it's so rare that you're on a show that's successful these days that you kind of just sit there and go, Is this really happening?
When you do, when it gets to pilot season, you know, you must have done a lot of pilots or whatever, and then you go, most of them are going to fail. You know the rate of success of the TV shows, and yet this one cuts through.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, I've tested, which is like, I don't know if you know the process at all, but, you know, you audition for the same show over and over and over again until you finally get to the place where you're auditioning in front of like 30 people at the studio and network. And I've done that so many times and not gotten the show. When this thing came along, and it was Zoe, and it was all these great producers, and Liz Merriweather, who's like a fantastic writer and everything, I was like, well, I'm not going to get this one.
Right.
And
the other thing that and we're not just trying to blow smoke here. I mean, we've been talking about this show since the first episode aired. What I love about this, and it reminds me of Modern Family in some way, which is it looks like a show that's already been on the air for a long time. In other words, a lot of shows get started and they're a little wobbly at first while they're trying to kind of find their legs a little bit and find out what works and what the tone is. It seems like you guys kind of came out of the gate already fully formed, and it's just so effortless to watch the show. And I think that's a real compliment, like you said, to your writers.
No, it's a really nice thing for you to say. It's I was the writer, and then also, you know, Jake Kasdan directed the pilot.
Right.
And he did such a great job with it. And
he really
set the tone. He did the first two episodes of the season, and he's been great and been part of the process the whole time.
Now I'm going to play a clip of you. This is Schmidt, and this is what you've become. And your roommates are not necessarily what you become. Your roommates are not necessarily happy with the turn of events.
Friday night, gentlemen, it's on.
What happened to you?
It's on and popping up in here. You feel?
What happened to you?
What?
You didn't used to be like this, Schmidt.
What are you talking about?
You've gotten so much worse.
It's on and popping.
how do you describe Schmidt? What's the backstory on Schmidt? What's he all about?
I don't know. My wife is so embarrassed.
Was it written this way, or did you add your spin on it, or how did it come into being?
It was really it was a nice collaboration between myself and Liz Merriweather and the writers and Jake Kasdan, and taking these different moments and really playing with them, and I think we found the most of them in the pilot, and then they kind of went nuts from there.
Right.
Yeah. Now it's over.
You're basically just playing Kevin Federline, let's be honest.
He's representing for Wiggas everywhere, Kevin. Come on. It's not about one guy. This is the voice of actor Max Greenfield here on The Kevin and Bean Show. He's one of the stars of The New Girl with another new episode tonight at 9 on Fox. We'll talk about what's going on in tonight's episode in a minute. But first, what's it like, even a guy, well, you know, I identify being in the same kind of shape roughly you are, Max.
Easy.
But what's it like on a television set to take off your shirt to act in front of a whole bunch of people? I don't care how good you look. That still must be tough for you.
Look, I saw an interview a long time ago with Dennis Quaid. I think he was on the Actors Studio, and they brought up, what was that great movie he did about the cyclists? The Cutters?
I
forget what it was called. Such a good movie. But he was ripped in that movie. And the guy asked him, he was like, what'd you do to get in shape? He's like, I don't know. I did a couple sit-ups, whatever.
Yeah.
That's not my life. I'm not like one of these guys who, like, you know, was born with a six pack. It's horrible. I work out so much. It's embarrassing.
But do you hate it or do you love it?
I like it. It's good. It keeps me sane to a degree.
It is funny that you do manage to take your shirt off at least once every episode.
Oh, just when I think I can't get any more naked in an episode, I will read the next script, yeah, and I'm just so much more naked than I thought ever possible.
You know, you are going to reach a limit there, right?
I think we hit it last week. Literally, we were shooting an episode, and I have three scenes, and all of them are me getting out of the shower.
Nice.
Wow. And by the way, is there any apartment in the world that has a shower that big that many people can do their business at in the morning? That's crazy, right?
I don't know, man. Well, it's a big shower, man.
That is certainly a tough question to answer.
Lots going on in the shower.
And so many sinks, too. I'm very confused. But all right, let's talk about the Thanksgiving episode, which seems early to me, but that's airing tonight on Fox. What's going on tonight on the show?
Well, first of all, Justin Long comes on and plays, you know, Jess's love interest.
Uh-huh.
And Justin Long is one of the funniest people I think I've ever met. He's so good in this episode. He does a few episodes this season. He's so good.
He's fantastic at everything he does, I think.
Yeah, he's. I think, like, this is... He's just so good in this episode and so good in this role. It's exciting. But so Jess ends up... You know, the guys are at home, and they usually, for every Thanksgiving, they kind of just hang out and watch TV, and then Jess shows up, and she's invited Justin over, her new boyfriend, and is like, I want to do a full Thanksgiving dinner. Somehow ropes the guys into it, and it becomes a bit of a disaster.
Yeah.
Hilarity ensues.
I can see that.
Do you keep in touch with the old black guy on your show, or do you only talk to the new black guy?
Who, Damon Wayans Jr.? Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I never talk to him.
Okay. Well, he's not on the show anymore. Who needs him, right?
No, exactly. I think everybody just totally cut communication with him.
Nice.
I think you got to.
Well, that has to be done.
The show is great, Max. You should be very proud of the work you and the whole cast are doing. It is,
I can't tell you how appreciative we are. I know you guys have supported the show.
We love it to death. New Girl, tonight at 9 on Fox. Max, great to have you on the show, man. Thanks so much for coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you.
26-year-old British man engaged to be married to a young lady, has an accident, ends up in a coma, wakes up, decides he is in fact gay. Now he loves the penis. He quits his job at the bank, breaks up with his fiance. Now he becomes a hairdresser. He frosts his hair and is living with a boy.
Nope. I'm with Ralph. Nope.
I don't know. We're going to talk to Dr. Mo. He is, of course, a real-life medical doctor, not like a fake doctor like Dr. Drew on TV.
Does he do brain stuff?
I think he does it all. I think he's a one-stop
fix. Oh, he does everything. Oh, yeah. He's a magical doctor. He fixes every part of your body.
Well, we gave him a heads up on this. He's done a little research for us to find out what the history is of what happens to people when they have strokes and the likelihood of whether this story is true or not. So we're going to discuss that with our friend Dr. Mo coming up after the topic.
I've never seen his diploma. That's all I'm saying. I've never seen his diploma.
So he may not even be a real doctor either? Is that what you're suggesting?
Hey, Dr. J. Ooh, he wasn't a doctor either. Yeah, anybody can call themselves a doctor.
Well, this one is performing surgery every day, so okay. I hope he's a doctor.
Hello. Did you ever see Catch Me If You Can? Leonardo DiCaprio, flying planes, didn't make him a pilot.
Wasn't a pilot, that's true.
That's coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat. What's happening?
Before I get to Showbiz News, I'd like to give away some very cool prizes. I've got a prize pack. It is a DVD Blu-ray combo pack of a movie by J.J. Abrams that I enjoyed enormously when it came out. I saw it in theaters. Super 8 is the name of the movie. Sort of a tribute, homage, if you will, to the Spielberg films of the early 80s, the E.T.s, and those sort of things. Takes place in the early 80s with a bunch of kids making their own Super 8 movie, and they accidentally film something perhaps they shouldn't have. The government is not pleased with what they captured. And chaos ensues from there. Very entertaining film. Kyle Chandler's in it. He's great in that film.
There's a government cover-up like that ever happens.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
So if you'd like to win that pack, I'll throw in a Fandango gift card. Fandango.com, of course, the website where you can go to find info on the movies and to buy your tickets. If you'd like that prize pack, then be callers. Be the first callers 20 through 22. First callers 20 to 22.
So not first callers, but 20 to 22.
First callers 20 to 22. What did I say?
First callers 20 to 22.
That's right.
All right.
So callers 20, 21, and 22 right now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. Poor porn star Kim Kardashian. Friends and family are worried she's headed for a mental breakdown. Well, first of all, you'd have to have a mental, wouldn't you, to have it break down? They say she is pushing so hard with her work commitments after her divorce from Chris Humphries that she isn't eating, isn't sleeping, is physically, emotionally exhausted. She's burying herself in her work. Does that mean she's stocking shelves at Sears where she's putting up the Kardashian collection?
That's so weird. This whole story is being spun like she got blindsided.
Right, like she got dumped.
She's the one who did the dumping, right?
She sure did.
And he didn't have any idea it was coming.
No, he found out on TMZ. That's where he found out he was getting a divorce.
So how is she so hurt by it?
Because, Kevin, she's a woman of deep, deep emotions.
No.
Imagine the guilt she carries around knowing that she ended a relationship that lasted, what, were they married, 12, 13 years,
I think? 72 days.
They had three kids, right?
No, the kids. Kid, just 72 days.
What?
That's all. Yeah.
I hope she has a breakdown on a desert road in her Beamer and then meets the hill people.
Wow.
I'd like her to meet the hill people. They still don't know who's going to play Napoleon Solo in a movie that I am desperately looking forward to. It is the big screen version of The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Director Steven Soderbergh is bringing the classic 60s spy TV series to the big screen. He's having a hard time finding his Napoleon Solo, however, who is like the American James Bond character who's the lead in the film.
Ryan Gosling.
His name has not been mentioned, but they did say George Clooney initially, which I thought would have been awesome because he's suave and deboner.
But you love George Clooney too much.
But he is way cool. He could really pull off an American James Bond type character. He'd be perfect.
Agreed.
Clooney apparently had to back out because he still has some lingering physical disabilities and pain from that Siriana injury he got. Remember when he damn near broke his neck?
Yeah.
And he had several surgeries on it, and he says he's still in pain. It's hard for him to do stunt work now because of it. So he backed out. Then they talked to Bradley Cooper about the role, which I was not keen on, but I guess he could have put it off.
I thought he'd be fine.
That fell through. Now they're talking apparently to Channing Tatum. Those guys just worked together in a film. Maybe Steven Soderbergh should check out the 21 Jump Street trailer first before he puts Channing Tatum in a film. I'm just saying. Listener emailed me and said, you know who should be cast? And I didn't even think about it, but of course he's right. John Hamm. Don Draper.
Ooh.
Now that would be a James Bond for the ages. An American James Bond.
Yes, Bobby!
No, Bobby should not be considered for this role. Right. But John Hamm, Don Draper as a 60s-style spy.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Come on now with the come on.
That makes sense.
Kenneth Babyface Edmonds?
No, he should not be cast. Not Kenneth Babyface Edmonds.
Betty White.
Not Betty White either. No, I don't think she would be appropriate.
Right.
Bill Haley and his comets.
I don't think Bill Haley or any of his comets would be a good selection for Steven.
Casey
Soderbergh.
And the Sunshine Band.
Not Casey nor the Sunshine Band.
Ralph, I think we need to take your suggestion you made, I think, a couple of weeks ago, that we go through our sound clips maybe and have a little cleaning.
A little spring cleaning?
Yeah.
I know it's winter, but still.
Just go through them and maybe pare some of them down.
Just say maybe Bill Haley and the comets could be retired. Maybe we could send that over to the Museum of Television Radio.
Pete
is a hoarder. We need to call the hoarder people.
He's a sound
hoarding
hoarder.
Sounds. Mm-hmm. And we need to go in there and do some heavy editing. Bill Haley in the comments.
When is that
going to come in handy?
I've sat on that for about 10 years.
Yeah, I wish
today
you would
was the first time
it.
I ever used it.
What a payoff.
While we're talking about John Hamm and Don Draper, by the way, you know, March of next year is when Mad Men comes back.
Already?
March of 2012. Mm. And Matthew Weiner, the creator of the show, has announced how the series is going to end.
Well,
it's going to end at the end of the seventh season. Oh. That will be the end. We have a couple more years. But he knows exactly how it's going to end up. And he announced it today. That we will see Don Draper present day as an old man in his 80s at the end of the series.
Uh-oh, that's going to be sad. He's going to need a rest home.
Something's going to be up there.
Yeah.
It isn't going to be good.
No.
I think he's going to steal the identity of another dude in the rest home and start a brand new life in his 80s, become somebody else. Swap out a corpse for himself. Today's celebrity birthdays, Judge Wapner from the People's Court, 92 years old.
Did he
today.
Start all of those court shows?
He was the groundbreaker.
Is he the OG?
First big-time television judge that I can think of who used to solve cases live.
That's where we met Harvey Levin, too, right? He was on that show for a long, long time.
I don't think he was the original post-trial interviewer.
He wasn't Rusty
Bailiff, but he wasn't Doug Llewellyn either.
Oh,
remember,
good.
Doug Llewellyn used to be in the hallway. So, how do you feel about the fact that you're not getting your rent money back?
Damn her! That bitch stole my rent money!
Oh, I saw that one. That was a good one.
That was all of them.
Ed Asner's 82 years old today. Sam Waterston from Law & Order is 71. Kevin Eubanks. Band leader for Tonight Show with Jay Leno is 54. He's a good-looking 54. He looks well-preserved, that Kevin Eubanks. Johnny Lee Miller, the actor, is 39. And Chad Kroeger of Nickelback fame celebrates his 37th
birthday.
Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz.
I don't know if it's true or not. I just think it's interesting. That's all. That's why we're having the expert on to discuss. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Here's the deal. We told you about this story yesterday briefly, but now we got a little bit more time. A guy hurts himself, doing a backflip. I guess he's playing rugby part-time, doing a backflip, and broke his neck, if I remember correctly. Right, Kevin?
I believe
so. Fell
down
a grass bank, broke his neck, suffered a stroke, went into a coma. When he woke up after the coma, everything about his life had changed. His brain had been, it seemed like, rewired. All of a sudden, he hated his old life. He didn't like his friends anymore. He never wanted to play rugby again. He broke up with his girlfriend. Decided he was gay. I mean, all of this, like, as a result of the stroke, happened because of what happened.
Became a hairdresser. There's too many. I don't don't know.
It's pretty crazy.
It is a pretty crazy story. Yeah. And the article that came from Britain's Daily Mail says, gives all sorts of detail about what happens in strokes, and your blood supply is cut off and then in one area, and then it reforms new associations in other areas. And there's lots of stories, I guess, of people who didn't know they could draw or paint, and all of a sudden they have tremendous skill as a result of being in a coma or having a stroke. And we just wanted to find out more about it, so we asked our friend Dr. Mo if he would join us on the phone. He is the chief of surgery at an actual real-life hospital in San Pedro. The guy's a medical doctor. He knows what he's talking about. Dr. Mo, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
You've seen a lot of crazy stuff. I'm sure you've had unfortunate stroke victims in and out of your care at the hospital there. How did this story strike you, doctor?
Well, I got notified about this yesterday, and I went back to the original article in the Daily Mail. And I think the honest way of looking at this is that I think there is a lot of BS here, but there's an element of truth behind it if you can sort of decode what I think they're trying to say in the article.
Okay. What they're saying is a very heterosexual guy
who
used to work out all the time and play rugby went into a coma and woke up gay.
Right.
Did that happen? Is that possible?
Yeah, but let me phrase it to you in a certain way. Now, the first thing that sort of stuck out for me is that when you break your neck, you don't necessarily get a stroke. Those are two completely different things.
Right.
Now, the head injury from a stroke is usually when you lose blood flow or something ruptures in your brain. It's not like getting a concussion or some sort of head bleed that you'd get if you really fell on your head something hard. So, again, we're either dealing with a stroke or a what's more commonly called traumatic brain injury.
Okay.
Those are two different
things.
Now, number two, they said he was in a coma and then he woke up.
Right.
How long was he in the coma? And I can't find that anywhere.
I noticed that, too.
You know why? Fake story.
Well, I don't know, but go with me for a second.
All right.
So as you keep reading the article, it says he lost a lot of weight, and they said he lost 8 stone, which I guess if you convert that to pounds is 110 pounds or something like that.
Wow.
Right. So, again, I'm trying to put this stuff together. Now, this guy goes to sleep, wakes up, says he's gay, says he's a different person. Now,
breaks up with fiance, has a boyfriend, starts cutting hair.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Totally different guy. Now, let's say there's two elements to this. There's a neurologic component, which I'm talking about the brain injury, and a psychologic component. So, wouldn't it make more sense that this guy maybe had some sort of repressed or latent homosexual urges?
That's what I think.
And he was hiding them. His repression was causing him, maybe it came out as an aggressive sort of behavior. And again, he was a rugby player.
Mm-hmm.
So I can.
That's where he was getting his testosterone on, is playing rugby.
I can see that happening. And then maybe the brain injury, because the brain is a mysterious thing that does all sorts of things you don't know about. Like, for example, the guy that wakes up and can paint, or the guy that wakes up and has a British accent, or the guy that...
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of really amazing...
And those things are real. Those things are verified actual stories, right?
Yeah, they're real. They may not be 100% explainable, because, again, we don't know everything about the brain. So let's get back to this guy. He is this repressed guy. He may not even know this is happening, but something about the brain injury uninhibits him. And we do know that in stroke victims, sometimes their behavior changes. They can either get depressed, they can get manic, they're difficult to control, they're impulsive. So we do know the brain can respond to a stroke that way. So let's say this guy was repressed. This stuff is sort of like he's uninhibited, and look what comes out. That's not a pain,
okay,
but you know what I mean.
So your possible explanation is that the guy had been gay all along, didn't know how to express that, got an injury, and that seemed to flip a switch, and now he's able to do it. Is it possible that he was a complete heterosexual, which is how it was reported, and woke up gay?
Well, there is a lot of fluidity to sex, and we know that. But a lot of studies...
A lot of fluids, too.
Yeah, and then tons of that.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, whatever. There's a lot of evidence that shows that homosexuality has a genetic, a physiologic, it's not a psychologic component.
Right.
So it wouldn't make sense that you could change your body chemistry. It wouldn't make sense that you would change who you are from
head
injury.
That's what I think. You get hit in the head, doesn't make you something that you're not.
But it wouldn't make sense there's more. I mean, there's a lot of people have always joked about pro football and pro athletes and all this stuff. A lot of this repressed stuff is latent homosexuality.
But let me tell you why I love Dr. Mo and why I'm so glad we had him on to comment about this story, is you were able to find something in this article that I did not notice, which is that the stroke or the injury to the brain really could have been an actual factor in him realizing that he was gay because of the inhibition switch being flipped. And I think that's likely to be what happened. And I think the other part of it that we haven't talked about that may also be a factor here he had a near-death experience. And how many people laying in a hospital bed after they've almost died start to reevaluate their lives and think, wow, it could all end like that. I need to start making some choices to make me happy. And I bet that had something to do with it, too.
That makes more sense to me than, you know, you get bonked on the head and you wake up and you're Richard
Jones. You love penis, yeah. Right.
Is it possible he did all of this to get away from a bitch? His fiance, he couldn't imagine living his life with her.
Oh,
is so it possible, Dr. Mo? Yes or no?
I'm saying that on the list of things to do, that coma would be way far down.
All right.
Right. So the final verdict on this is it's possible that the stroke or head injury played a part in his realization that he was gay, enabling him to bring the latent homosexuality to the surface. But it's unlikely that the injury turned him from hetero to homo.
I concur.
I think we have a winner, ladies and gentlemen.
How about that?
I think we're all on board. Thank you so much, Dr. Mo. We appreciate it, sir.
Anytime. Talk to you.
All the important questions we come to. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 20 minutes till 10 o'clock.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Ralph is here with our final look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday. What's going on?
I got stuff to give away. How about that?
That's good.
It is always good to give away things. How about two people will be the lucky winners of Super 8, the movie by J.J. Abrams on the Blu-ray DVD combo pack? So either one, whatever you got. You got Blu-ray, you got DVD, boom, we got you covered. The Blu-ray DVD combo pack's available in stores everywhere November the 22nd, but you will win it right now if you're one of the first two callers at 1-800-520-1067. And as a little bonus, I will throw in a Fandango gift card, Fandango.com, of course. The best place to check out movie showtimes, movie information, get your tickets online. You can do it all at Fandango.com. So please call now, 1-800-520-1067. I really enjoyed that Super 8. Did you guys see it?
I did, yeah.
I liked it. Great young cast of actors.
Yes.
Who is the Fanning who's in that one?
That was L.
L.
She was tremendous.
Jeez, what a performance she gave.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I don't remember that much about it.
It's so funny that she kicks
Dakota's ass.
It's funny that Dakota is now, like, what, 16 or something? And she seems so old and out of fashion now because L is so popular.
Oh, she's so beat-looking, too. She's so aged. Ugh. Got that one line on her face. give me L. Give me that fresh L. Yeah, I'm bean. Yeah. So while we're talking about great performances, Kim Kardashian. I'm sorry, porn star Kim Kardashian.
Yes.
Thank you.
Of course, co-stars in the new Tyler Perry movie, The Marriage Counselor. It raised a few eyebrows when it was announced that she would be starring in a movie because, well, one, she's not an actress, and two, she can't act. But maybe she realizes that because, according to Life and Style magazine, she has hired Susan Batson, acting coach to the stars.
All right.
To help her nail down her performance as the star of that film. Susan has worked with such actors as Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise.
Wow.
Does she have to be a Scientologist first?
I'm guessing there is some of that connection in there someplace.
Because they don't work with
Unless them. It's a husband-wife thing, and one of them had great success or really enjoyed what they learned from the acting coach, so recommended the person to their spouse.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Sure, Bean.
Maybe Susan Batson was in chains in a ship in Long Beach for a while.
Ship off the coast.
That's all I'm saying. We don't know. Maybe she takes a lot of vitamins and exercises a lot.
I don't know.
Calls in the middle of the night to get off drugs.
I don't know.
But look, Tom Cruise appears straight, so maybe she's a good acting coach. You know what I'm saying?
That's a good point.
Allegedly.
Tom Cruise is
allegedly
very straight.
He's very
straight.
He's super heterosexual.
Really, really. More than most of us.
But yeah. I heard he hit his head in a rugby match when he woke up.
That was not him. That was someone else.
Oh, never mind. What are they doing to my community? What's going on over there, NBC? What are you doing? Hey,
I don't
NBC,
like this.
NBC, what are you doing? Hey, get your hands off community. Get your... Just put down the community and back away slowly, NBC.
Are they hiding it? What are they doing?
They're taking community and putting it on the shelf.
Yeah, they're hiding it. That's actually accurate this time, Kevin.
They got to make room for Are You There, Chelsea? The new sitcom based on Chelsea Handler's life. Oh, wait a minute. No, they don't have to make room for that at all. They should just start a bonfire.
They don't have any other show that sucks because Community's good, right?
Well, they got to bring back 30 Rock, too, so they got to make room for that. Mm-hmm. They've still got Whitney on the schedule. You can't move that. You can't move the laugh-packed sitcom. I'm sorry, the laugh-track-packed sitcom Whitney. Can't move that.
That's not as bad as you say.
It sucks.
It's not that bad.
I'm with Ralph.
It sucks.
It's horrible.
It's a six.
No, not even close. It's
not even a five. Give it a five.
No.
It's a five.
It's horribly written.
It's at least a five.
The jokes are pathetic. pathetic.
Well, yeah, that's what a five is.
No, that's not what a five is. Five is like, okay, that's fine. I can see why some people like it, because there must be some humor in that for some people.
There are a few fives amongst the rest. I don't know. It's just not that bad.
It is.
All right.
That that's where you're wrong. Okay. It is that bad. And community, what if Whitney's a five, what's community?
10.
Yeah. So well, you don't make room for a five with a 10.
Well, I don't think
community
is a 10, but it's a good 8, you know?
You just said 10.
I know, but compared to...
What's wrong with you today?
Compared to...
I'm confused.
Kevin was talking about a crossbow in the other room. He said, I like the arrow bow gun.
I don't think we need to bring in off-air conversations.
I'm just saying, you need to get to a doctor immediately. Me like arrow bow gun.
I'm not really under... I don't understand. That's ridiculous. Yeah.
And they're also moving Prime Suspect, putting that on hold as well.
That's I like that show.
That's a laugh riot. It. I've been watching it, and every week I want to like it, and it's good. It's well done, and yet I'm done watching it, I go, yeah, I don't need to watch that again.
I always look forward to it.
Yeah.
Now, what does that mean in TV language, Ralph? These shows are not canceled. They could still come back. They're just not on the current schedule.
It depends on how their replacements perform, I'm assuming. If Are You There, Chelsea gets on the air and stinks up the joint, they may just cancel that and bring back Community. But it's not a good sign, I'll tell you that much.
Right.
It means they're on the bubble, to say the least. And CBS is doing the same thing. They are, they've trimmed their order of rules of engagement from 18 episodes to 13 episodes, indicating there's some trouble for that show. And they are putting Rob Schneider's new sitcom, Rob, on the lineup, along with the early return of Undercover Boss, debuting in January as well. So, a lot of shuffling going on with the networks these days. Doctor Who fans can look forward to a major motion picture about the time-traveling doctor and his sonic screwdriver. I love the sonic screwdriver. That's like one of the greatest.
That's a sex possession, right?
No, the sonic screwdriver is like Doctor Who's weapon.
No.
It does everything. It unlocks doors, and you can pick up signals with it and everything.
It sounds
the
sonic dumb beyond words.
The sonic screwdriver is awesome.
Oh my God.
Really?
It's a screwdriver.
Yes.
But it does everything else, too. It's like a Swiss Army knife of cool sci-fi gadgets.
Dumb.
It's the sci-fi. It's the sonic screwdriver. It's not dumb.
Everything you've told me made me like that show, Doctor Who, until the sonic screwdriver. Now, I don't know.
Oh, if I say, I liked everything about Star Wars until you brought that lightsaber thing. Oh, no, I don't like that.
It's not the same.
It's a sword made out of a flashlight.
It's not
a sonic
screwdriver.
Doesn't sound great on paper, but in practice, it's genius. And the TARDIS, which, of course, is larger on the inside than it is on the outside.
Sure.
I should tell you about that. Anyways, David Yates, the guy who did four of the Harry Potter movies, is going to be directing the big screen version of the long-running BBC series. If you're not watching it on BBC America, by the way, you're a fool. Fool, I say. It's not coming back till Christmas. They're going to have a special Christmas episode, and then next year they bring back new episodes. But I'm very excited.
Tell me.
Matt Smith, apparently, who plays the Doctor to great acclaim these days on the TV series, will not be playing the Doctor. No word yet on who will cast, but I'm guessing it's going to be a high-profile British actor who will take over the role of Doctor Who. It's a coveted role for the Brits. There's a bunch of good actors, I think, who would be good choices. Simon Pegg, I think, would be great.
He's good in everything.
He is good in everything.
Doesn't he look good? Is he the one that's in Mission Impossible?
New Mission Impossible
movie,
yeah.
He looks so funny in that.
Yeah. He did a couple episodes of the Doctor TV series, but I think he's one of those guys who's got the charisma to pull it off. So we'll have to wait and see.
Bill Haley and his comments.
Nope, he is not up, I think, for the role of Doctor Who. Bill Haley. Significantly less funny the second time around. Might be time to clear out Bean's sound cabinet.
How dare you?
You put that on the schedule for tomorrow.
Clean out Bean's. Bean's a sound hoarder.
Maybe Bean can throw out some ideas. We can tell him whether he should keep them or perhaps put them in the junk heap. The sonic junk heap. With the sonic screwdriver. You can use that over there. Today's celebrity birthday is Judge Wapner. You remember him from People's Court? Now entering the courtroom, Kevin Ryder.
Tell me something tiny, too.
He's accused of attacking his neighbor with an arrow bow gun. He is 92 years old today. Ed Asner, 82. Sam Waterston from Law & Order, 71. Kevin Eubanks, he was the band leader, is the band leader for Tonight Show with Jay Leno, 54 years old. Johnny Lee Miller celebrates his 39th birthday. He was so good on Dexter, by the way, Johnny Lee Miller, remember? He was the guy, the motivational speaker guy
at
that Empire.
Yes. He was great.
And him and his friends got a hold of Lumen and did bad things
to her.
He's 39 years old. And Chad Kroeger of Nickelback,
37 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We've got Bean the Sound Hoarder.
Yes!
We do need to take care of that. It's been a while, and he really does. He has too much sound at his fingertips.
Doesn't need Bill Haley in the comments, I think, on the big board.
His plan is eventually, and he doesn't seem to be working into it, is to stop talking and just start playing all sound.
Communicate only through sound bites.
Fine, do that.
That would be my dream.
Right, we'll start. Why don't you start tomorrow? We also have Dan Henderson tomorrow talking about UFC 139. We have the editor of Maxim Magazine tomorrow morning, and we have details on night number 2 of the 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas at 7:15.
Bill Haley in the comments?
Tomorrow.